Happy Monday to you out there. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk to You. I am your host, Mr. Talker, in the house today. What's going on out there? How did everybody's weekend go? I hope it went fine. Hey, man, we got a show planned for you today. It's Soapbox Monday, y'all. The question is, what's on your mind today? What's bothering y'all, huh? You know. Oh, the weekend has come and gone, and there's so much happening. I mean, you already think what's going on. President Obama speaks at Full House College. He said some interesting things there. Oh, and what about these Republicans? They still on a witch hunt. That's surprising them. But, oh, man. These are the topics we're going to be talking about today. So, go ahead and get that couple of jokes. Don't get your comfort chair. You know, sit back, relax, and join us for some great conversation today. Are y'all ready? I hope y'all are. So, that's all. That's what we're doing today. We ain't no big rush. We have nowhere to go. Just some great conversation. And we ready to do the dang on thing. So, I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all are ready. Man, I tell you. So what's going on out there, peoples? How y'all doing today? I tell you. Man, look, I just watched this movie called The Kingdom with Jamie Foxx. And I'm going to tell you, man, whew, this is my first time actually ever being able to watch it. And, man, let me tell you something. Man, that movie brought back some feelings. I mean, if you haven't been there, I guess you wouldn't understand the feelings that I was going through watching this movie. And I see why I couldn't watch it immediately after I got out. Wow. There's some scenes in there, man, that just brings back too many painful memories. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with y'all. And my veterans out there, you understand what I'm talking about. So my hat's off to you. Yeah, because we all one big happy family. You know what I mean? Of course you do. AJ Works, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us today. You know, so take that into account, y'all. When you see a veteran, make sure you say thank you. If you don't understand, what's going on, then you know what? Maybe you should look in the movies or just ask a veteran. Now, let me give you a little bit of something. A veteran is only going to tell you so much, okay? Now, when he tells you enough is enough, you leave that alone. He or she, I'm sorry, because we do have some female veterans that, you know, put in their time and, you know, did their thing for that also. Okay, now that I've said that, I'm getting off of that, all right? I just had to put that out there. So, how was everybody weekend? I know this one right here was hot, man. It was heated, you hear me? But that's a good thing. I'd rather take the heat instead of the cold any day. I really do. Give me some heat. Because I definitely rather have heat than ice. Now, if I get a mixture in between, then, you know, I'm loving that. But if it just has to be God dang it cold, no, Mr. Talk not with the cold. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. Hey, boo, I see you out there. Ebony in the house. I see Miss Ebony there also. All right. Now, of course, as we do, you know, and at the beginning of each show, I always give out the house rules. Well, I've come up with the conclusion. I think every hour, you know, I'm going to have to give out the house rules. Because some individuals come in late on the show, and, you know, they don't understand what rules are, or they attempt to act like they don't. So make sure everything is fair and honest. When I hit them upside the head with that taser, I'm going to have to, you know, break it down to them. I know. Hey, I'm just putting it out there. You know, because this taser finna become active again. You know, it kind of slowed down since our brother Michael, you know, has been off the air a couple of days. But trust me, it's finna heat up again. So I'm just putting the what we used to call it in the military, the warning shot out there. So you know. All right. So anyway, so if you want to join the conversation today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. I'll stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. All right, here we go. On this show, we encourage open dialogue and would like to hear everyone's opinion. And we do. We don't care. I mean, we understand that there's a whole lot of different thought processes and theories out there. And we would love to hear it all. If you're just going against the grain or you just have your belief or whatever, that's fine. We'd like to hear it. Doesn't mean we have to agree with it or you have to agree with us, but we'd love to hear your opinion. However, do not talk over each other. And it's one thing that some of our regulars have been doing a lot lately, and we're going to put a little control on that right there today. But, yeah, don't talk over each other because you can't hear. You may be making an outstanding point, but if you're talking over each other, they're talking over you, then nobody hears anything. And when nobody hears anything, no point is made. Isn't that simple? It just sounds so simple that way. But anyway, so no talking over each other. Make your comments and responses as short as possible. Usually I say short is sweet, but some people say some responses aren't sweet. So I'm just leaving. Make it short as possible, okay? As long as you make it short as possible, that means everybody else can get their chance to come in, say what they need to say, respond as needed, and We all good. You know, we don't need no 30-minute dissertations on what's going on. We really don't. Because that's like getting on my nerves. All right. Oh, and the major thing that I really will not. And no. No personal attacks are allowed. We are adults. We should be able to conversate, have a discussion, debate, however you want to classify it, as adults without stooping to the level of personally attacking the other person. Now, you can attack what they said. You can attack the topic. But no way, and attack anyone personally. Please, don't do that. Because once you start stooping that low, then that's telling us, me and my listeners, that you lack the mental capability have a conversation without stooping to a child's level. And that's all it is, really. When you start calling people out their name, that's all it is. You're stooping to a child level. And we are supposed to be adults, so there should be none of that going on. Okay? I'm just putting it out there, y'all. You know, these are the things that I have to put out there. It really is. And in case anybody happens to violate any of these rules, this is what you share here when I slap them upside down. Right. That's it right there. Now, if you're really getting carried away and I'm tired of you, you may hear this. This means you're about to get thrown off the show. 10, but listen, 9, 8, this is something 7, else right here. 6, 5, 4, 3, I'm warning you 2, with the countdown.
1. Press any key.
See, this
to
is an
return
to, get to, that part.
To the main menu.
Bam, boom, boom. That's it. And you are gone. I'm trying to tell you. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just letting it be known as that's what's going to happen. All right. Ebony, I see you out there, girl. Let's see. What else we got to do? So those are the house rules, and I do hope, you know, individuals do obey them. That way I won't have to throw them out. Okay? Now, before we get the Ebony on here, we got two more things we got to do. Then we're going to let Ebony in, and I'm sure we're going to have some fun today. Now, the quote of the day, if you want to conquer fear, don't sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. That's by Dale Carnegie. One more time. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. Dale Carnegie. That makes sense. You know, if you sit home talking about you're scared, then you're letting fear conquer you. But if you get out and go and do something, especially whatever it is you're afraid of, hey, you're making some things happen then. See, you have conquered fear. I know. It's simple and light, right? Right. All right. Here we go, y'all. And with the quote of the day, you know we got to bring back with the song of the day. Now, the song of the day is a real feel-good song. And I remember this used to be my song of the year when I was in high school. So here it is. Without further ado, the song of the day.
Don't you let nothing
right, y'all. That was the song of the day. Ain't no stopping us now. Back McFadden and Whitehead. I know some of your heads. Y'all remember that, man. I'm telling you. Because, like I said, that used to be my song of the day when I was in high school. Okay? So, hey. That's a feel-good song. You know, that kind of gives you, how can I put it? That gives you some energy. You know what I mean? Something to ride on for a little while. It did me, and it still does. I'm just saying. Yeah, I may be speaking out the side of my kickstand knee, but it's okay. It's okay. I want to say, what's up, Vernon, on the switchboard? And then we have Goofy Bone in the chat room. What's up, fellas? But, y'all, let's go ahead and bring in Miss Ebony Empress. Let's go to give her some little love.
I was going to say, ain't no stepping us down. We got the group.
Yeah,
I love that tune too. Hey, yeah. I was bouncing around here. I was like, I go in from work and I'm like, yeah, do you know what? I had a little stressful tip when I got in with someone, and that has just lightened the mood back to where I was.
That's where you were, huh?
Yeah. I had a custom guy who did my door and messed about with it, and then tried to give me some rubbish talk, and I was just like, please, don't even let me go there today. So that song just brought me back, just leveled me out, and I'm ready to go. How are you?
All right, I like that. I'm good too. I told you that's my energizer song. You know, sometimes when you're feeling down, and it just gives you a light. Like you said, it just makes things a little lighter. You know,
absolutely.
As you say,
back in the day, doesn't it? Does it remind you? Like it reminds you of back in the day, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like I said, I remember when I was in high school. You know, and. You know, that used to be kind of my theme song, especially football. You know, be like, yeah, ain't no stopping us now. We used to listen to that before I went on the field. And, man, I'm telling you, hype.
Yeah.
You know, because I played.
Did you have some dance?
No, not that I'm aware of.
No special dance moves?
No special dance moves on that one, no. Not on the field. I play defense. I ain't one trying to dance. I'm just trying to hurt somebody. I'll be honest.
Oh, God.
Hey, that is the thought process of a American football linebacker. We ain't trying to dance. We trying to hurt you. Make you know we there.
Oh, okay. Hey. Sounds like a song. I'm sure there's a song called Hurt Somebody.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's not about that, though. Now, if I want to, you know, I could take the song by Nelly out of the what's that movie with Adam Sandler, the football one. The Longest Yard. Here Comes the Boom. Now I can use that as a theme song too.
I thought you were talking about Nelly and Kelly's song. No.
I don't know who Kelly is.
All I think about is you. You know that one.
Okay, I'm lost on that one.
That's more up to date.
Maybe that's why. I mean, you know, some of this up to date music I'm not with, so I hate to say it, like, but it's true. Some of this up to date music just doesn't pique my interest.
Okay.
Oh, like last night they had the Billboard Music Award on. And out of all the guests, they had one person on there that I knew who he was, and that was Prince.
Wow.
But they didn't let him come on to the end of the show, so which meant if I wanted to sit down and wait for Prince, I would have to watch the whole show.
Right.
Of course, that made no logical sense to me, so I didn't watch it at all.
Oh, no. See, you telling me you didn't know, like, that? Because there was Jennifer Lopez on there, wasn't there? There was Justin Bieber. And I think Madge, what was her name? Madonna, she won some awards as well. A handful of awards.
Now, see that thing? What the heck, Madonna winning an award for being the oldest freak in the country now? I mean, really, honestly. What did she win an award for?
Well, I saw her picture and like she was wearing all the holy tights, and I was like, okay, you know, she's still trying to put something out there, you know, shout out to the oldies, she's doing her thing, you know, come on.
Yeah, right, okay.
She's doing her own thing, because I guess if you look back, you know, years ago, if you were over 50 and you were trying to get out there and bust it in those kind of tights and a leotard and, you know, half naked, you know, people would be like, they'd lock you up, wouldn't they? They'd lock you up in an asylum somewhere. And she can still get away with it. And, you know, she's got a few moves left in her and she's still not looking too bad. So, I don't know.
Yeah. No, she's looking. Look, she's not looking too bad in clothes anyway. Now, she probably took the clothes off. It'd probably be a different story, but okay. I don't know. You know, I never been a overwhelmingly Madonna fan, but I like some of her music. I really do. There's some music I love of her, some songs rather. But overall, man, she's just someone trying. And Jennifer Lopez, oh, whatever. I like her better as an actress than I do a singer. So,
yeah, you know what? You've got to know when you've had your time. You've got to know when you've done your time. Leave it gracefully. I mean, the great thing about old-time soul singers, so you got like Aretha Franklin's and people like that, they never really properly age. You know, although they're old, their music kind of went with their age, you know, so the kind of that they sing, it doesn't really matter what age they are, because, you know, it's just beautiful music that you can listen to at any age, and it fits into almost any genre, so and any age. So that's a good thing. But whereas, you know, if you're singing pop, it is a young person's game. It really is. So, you know, when you start getting beyond that, you've got to think, where else do I need to send my music? Because there's only so long you can knock it out in that high stake. But, you know, I don't know. I think good for Madonna. She's still trying it, you know. She's not 60 yet, but she's trying it. So.
Okay. Okay, Ebony. All right. I hear you now. I hear you. Oh, Lord. Hold on. Somebody else got their hand up. I imagine who this is. All right. Okay. What's up, Joe?
Isn't it kind of early for Ebony to be here to be plugging her show?
I wasn't plugging my show, actually. We were
Thank you.
Talking.
I yeah, know, but you like, would. You would have.
Yeah, you don't have to be jealous, okay? You know, we were having a little one-on-one here, okay? There's not really room for a threesome, so you kind of right.
You got me. You got me. I was jealous.
Wow. All righty then.
I don't know how I contain myself, but I did.
Yeah. How did you do that, Joe?
Self-restraint is amazing.
So what's up, brother Joe? How's it going? How was your
weekend? Well, I'm glad you're here because, you know, if you're not around on Mondays, it kind of creates kind of withdrawals if you're not here on a Monday, because Saturday and Sunday we can take it if you're not around. But if you're not around on a Monday, remember the last time you weren't around for a Monday, you know how Lowe got on you, I got on you. I think even Vernon got on you.
Oh,
yeah,
well.
Wow. Yeah, they be getting on me when I have other things to do. I can't come on the air.
Oh.
I think, well, next time I can't come on the air at the regular time, I just get it for a little later. What you think about that?
We won't know. How are we going to know? Telepathy?
I don't know. That's a good point.
So why don't you give Ebony the keys? Or give Lo the keys if you can't make it, because I'm sure you have Lo's phone number, and then and then he can come on, and then he can make an ass of himself.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
my goodness. Now, why would he make an ass of himself?
You know him better than I do.
Oh, my God.
You know what, y'all are something.
But, you know, as soon as he comes in here, he's going to call me a jackass or something. He's something, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. So how are you, Joe? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, all things considered.
Okay. Like?
like I've been having this hunger for English chicks, but I can't find one.
Well, it would help if you went to England.
Yeah, well, that's the obstacle.
He'd have to get over his fear of flying, and okay. then he'd have to work on his low libido, so it's a lot to work on. It's a lot.
That's true. I don't know which comes first, the low libido or the fear of the flying. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, they have cruise ships that go there now.
Yeah.
Who goes where?
The cruise ships.
Cruise ships?
Yeah. I'm going to take a merchant steamer to go over to England.
Wait a minute. You was in the Air Force. How the hell are you scared of flying?
I'm not.
Oh,
well, you know
okay.
what? You talk about recruiters lying. That stupid bastard told me I could become a pilot when I went to the Air Force. He lied.
he lied to you.
Stupid bastard.
Or he forgot to tell you the car part and the officer part and all that.
Nah. It was all wiped out. There used to be a program where you could be a non-com, go into transition, go through a program and actually become a pilot.
Right.
And that got wiped out. And then this scumbag didn't tell me. He says, yeah, sure. You sign right here. You're in. I like to take a baseball bat to that bastard.
You know, I can honestly say my recruiter told me pretty much the truth. The only thing they forgot to tell me is, because he told me I was like in this big truck, right? I mean, it's a big truck that I end up driving anyway. But he told me, well, you know, that's the kind of unit you very rarely get in. You know, you got to be kind of special for that. And I stayed in that type of unit my whole career, besides one time. I'm like, wow. I think about that today. I said, well, he did kind of tell me the truth, but he didn't tell me the truth. Hold on, let me bring Vernon in and see what Vernon got to say. Mr. Vernon, how was your weekend? Happy Monday to you.
Oh, it was great, man. It was great. Happy Monday to y'all, Joe and
hey, Vern.
Ebony.
Hiya. Hi, how are you, Vernon?
I'm doing just fine. Joe, I heard you talking about my cousin, man. Don't do that.
He talks about me.
Damn it, he ain't here to defend himself. Let him be here to
himself. He does it the same thing to me. You know him. He'll come in and he'll Where's that Joe, that jackass? And I said, where you got that cucumber stuck up your ass again? He goes, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Mr. Love, what's going on, man?
Not much. I appreciate it, cuz. I really do, man. Hey, you know what? And when we get him on that slab, we're going to put a kebab in him.
Here we go.
You know.
What's going on, cuz?
How you doing, Ebony, baby? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, honey?
I'm swell.
That's good.
So, Ebony, what is the name of Ebony's show? Ebony, what's the name of your show?
My show is called Ebony's Real Talks.
Ebony's Real Talks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you changed it?
Well, Tuesday's called Ebony's Real Talks. Today's show is called Marriage Endgame. And then the breakfast shows, which I do on a Monday and a Friday, are called Rise and Shine with Ebony Empress and Tanika Geis.
Empress is what I know.
Google Ebony Empress, you'll find all my shows. You'll be fine.
Yeah. It usually comes on like an hour after I done started or right after I get finished with mine, hers come on. Because a lot of times we go right to hers after we finish with my show, if we can find her.
Yeah, well, I won't tell you about my show because Joe doesn't want me to tell anybody about my show, so I won't. But just to say that tomorrow's going to be very interesting.
I'm not going
to
tell anything, but
I don't know.
Go ahead, Ebony. This is my show. Go ahead.
What'd I say, Eric? What'd I say?
Well, he wants to know because he wants to know to come to my show. So I'm telling you.
They always have an excuse.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about stepping up from being a girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other, partner, to being a husband or wife.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, is that in preparation for certain nuptials coming up?
Possibly.
Mm. Yeah, see.
Ebony, who is that guy on your shoulders?
Sorry?
Who is that guy on your shoulders full of himself?
Talking about Steve.
Which one?
Steve. Hey, Vern, did you hear the fight I got into it with him?
Last Thursday.
Yeah.
The one I heard him talking on was the one where Eric did the merger there. That was the only one
I was
on.
I came on after that. I think about the week or 2 weeks after that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That guy was
kind of full of himself.
Is
that one of your regulars, Ebony?
Well, he's mainly on a Thursday, but if you want to hear the more, what should I say, the more serious conversations on a Tuesday. So Tuesday, tomorrow I've got a new coach in with me tomorrow night, a guy called Marcel Swantz is his name, and he's from the U.S. And interesting, and a new guy. He's a leadership coach and a life coach. But he does a lot of coaching for men.
Okay.
A married guy who tries to help men to have better relationships.
The thing that I don't like though is you know, I come on your show and you cussing and you throwing all kind of words around. I say a couple of words, you tell me I need to tone it down a little bit.
Oh, who, me?
Yeah,
I was texting on my show and I told you to tone it down. Yeah, because my show is a decent show. I don't be doing all that. I don't have all that cussing on my show.
Before we get in on that, let me bring Goofy in. Look, Lo, it's her show. Sure. She don't like cuss, then you have to abide by her house rules. You know how it works.
I didn't hardly curse at all, but she said the word dick, and then I said the word pussy, and all of a sudden, I need to back down.
You know what? I think I'm going to send her my taser, part of my taser. She had the red.
Oh, my God.
Let me bring Mr. Goofy in. All right, Mr. Goofy, you on the air. What's going on, brother?
Happy Monday, everybody. How you doing, Ebony? It's good to hear from you, darling.
Hi, Goofy. How are you?
Hey, Goofy.
Just recovering from a wonderful weekend.
Oh, sounds great. What were you doing? Do you want to tell us?
Shopping, sex, more shopping, more sex.
Man, I thought I had a good week.
That sounds like a good weekend.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You left the drugs out.
You know, sometimes if they're good enough, the drugs, they don't need to come on this fucking journey.
Wow. That's interesting there. All right, let's give it the first story today, y'all. Okay, go ahead, Lo.
I went to a little festival that they had in New Orleans yesterday. I was in the city, and you know, there was a lot of people out there, and I kind of was a little nervous being out there because you know the recent thing that happened in Boston and this and that shit. You know what I'm saying? I kind of felt out of place out there, bro. I was like, back across that water doing that crazy stuff again, you know?
I understand. At the beginning of the show, I was telling, you know, I was saying that I finally watched The Kingdom for the first time, or that movie with Jamie Foxx. And just sitting here watching, and it brought back some feelings. I was like, wow, I see why I couldn't watch it when it first came out, when I first retired. I couldn't watch it then. Because some of them scenes in there, I was like, oh, my God, I remember that. You know, so yeah. So yeah, they. Oh man, okay. Let me calm down about that. All right, but I understand your pain, brother. I understand your pain.
Yeah.
All right. Hey y'all, President Obama gave a commencement speech this weekend at Morehouse College. You know, that's the college in Atlanta for all guys. And he did make some very interesting comments to the graduating class of young men. So I'm going to play this little sound clip here so y'all can hear part of the speech. We're going to come back and talk about it. All right? So he is talking to the graduates of Morehouse College.
And laws and hearts and minds have been changed to the point where someone who looks just like you can somehow come to serve as president of these United States of America. So the history we share should give you hope.
Started dancing.
Your generation is uniquely poised for success unlike any generation of African Americans that came before. But that doesn't mean we don't have work. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we know that too few of our brothers have the opportunities that you've had here at Morehouse. In troubled neighborhoods all across this country, many of them heavily African American. Too few of our citizens have role models to guide them. Communities just a couple of miles from my house in Chicago. Communities just a couple of miles from here. There are places where jobs are still too scarce and wages are still too low. Where schools are underfunded and violence is pervasive. Where too many of our young men spend their youth not behind a desk in a classroom, but hanging out on the streets. Or brooding behind a jail cell. My job as president is to advocate for policies that generate more opportunity for everybody, policies that strengthen the middle class and give more people the chance to climb their way into the middle class, policies that create more good jobs and reduce poverty and educate more children and give more families the security of health care and protect more of our children from the horrors of gun violence. That's my job. Those are matters of public policy, and it is important for all of us, black, white, and brown, to advocate for an America where everybody's got a fair shot in life, not just some, not just a few. But along with collective responsibilities, we have individual responsibilities. There are some things, as black men, we can only do for ourselves. There are some things, as Morehouse men, that you are obliged to do for those still left behind. As Morehouse men, you now wield something even more powerful than the diploma you're about to collect, and that's the power of your example. So what I ask of you today is the same thing I ask of every graduating class I address. Use that power for something larger than yourself. Live up to President Mays' challenge. Be sensitive to the wrongs, the sufferings, and the injustices of society, and be willing to accept responsibility for correcting those ills. I know that some of you came to Morehouse from communities where life was about keeping your head down and looking out for yourself. Maybe you feel like you escaped, and now you can take your degree and get that fancy job and the nice house and the nice car and never look back. And don't get me wrong, with all those student loans you've had to take out, I know you got to earn some money. With the doors open to you that your parents and grandparents could not even imagine. No one expects you to take a vow of poverty. But I will say it betrays a poverty of ambition if all you think about is what goods you can buy instead of what good you can do. So yes, go get that law degree, but if you do, ask yourself if the only option is to defend the rich and the powerful, or if you can also find some time to defend the powerless. Sure, go get your MBA or start that business. We need black businesses out there, but ask yourselves what broader purpose your business might serve in putting people back to work or transforming a neighborhood. The most successful CEOs I know didn't start out intent just on making money. Rather, they had a vision of how their product or service would change things, and the money followed. Some of you may be headed to medical school to become doctors, but make sure you heal folks in underserved communities who really need it too. For generations, certain groups in this country, especially African Americans, have been desperate in need of access to quality, affordable health care. And as a society, we're finally beginning to change that. Those of you who are under age 26 already have the option to stay on your parents' health care plan. But all of you are heading into an economy where many young people expect not only to have multiple jobs, but multiple careers. So starting October 1st, because of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, you'll be able to shop for a quality, affordable plan that's yours and travels with you, a plan that will ensure not only your health, but your dreams if you are sick or go get an accident. But we're going to need some doctors to make sure it works too. We've got to make sure everybody has good health in this country. It's not just good for you, it's good for this country. So you're going to have to spread the word to your fellow young people. Which brings me to the second point. Just as Morehouse has taught you to expect more of yourself, inspire those who look up to you to expect more of themselves. We know that too many young men in our community continue to make bad choices. And I have to say, growing up, I made quite a few myself. Sometimes I wrote off my own failings as just another example of the world trying to keep a black man down. I had a tendency sometimes to make excuses for me not doing the right thing. But one of the things that all of you have learned over the last 4 years is there's no longer any room for excuses. I understand there's a common fraternity creed here at Morehouse. Excuses are tools of the incompetent used to build bridges to nowhere and monuments of nothingness. Well, we've got no time for excuses. Not because the bitter legacy of slavery and segregation have vanished entirely, they have not. Not because racism and discrimination no longer exist, we know those are still out there. It's just that in today's hyper-connected, hyper-competitive world with millions of young people from China and India and Brazil, many of whom started with a whole lot less than all of you did, all of them entering the global workforce alongside you, nobody is going to give you anything that you have not earned. Nobody cares how tough your upbringing was. Nobody cares if you suffered some discrimination. And moreover, you have to remember that whatever you've gone through, it pales in comparison to the hardships previous generations endured, and they overcame them, and if they overcame them, you can overcome them too. You now hail from a lineage and legacy of immeasurably strong men, men who bore tremendous burdens and still laid the stones for the path on which we now walk. You wear the mantle of Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and Ralph Bunche and Langston Hughes and George Washington Carver and Ralph Abernathy and Thurgood Marshall and, yes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. These men were many things to many people, and they knew full well the role that racism played in their lives, but when it came to their own accomplishments and sense of purpose, they had no time for excuses. Every one of you have a grandma or an uncle or a parent who's told you that at some point in life, as an African American, you have to work twice as hard as anyone else if you want to get by. I think President Mays put it even better. He said, whatever you do, strive to do it so well that no man living and no man dead and no man yet to be born can do it any better. And I promise you what was needed in Dr. May's time, that spirit of excellence and hard work and dedication and no excuses is needed now more than ever. If you think you can just get over in this economy just because you have a Morehouse degree, you're in for a rude awakening. But if you stay hungry, if you keep hustling, if you keep on your grind and get other folks to do the same, nobody can stop you. And when I talk about pursuing excellence and setting an example, I'm not just talking about in your professional life. One of today's graduates, Frederick Anderson, Where's Frederick? Frederick, right here. I know it's raining, but I'm going to tell about Frederick. Frederick started his college career in Ohio only to find out that his high school sweetheart back in Georgia was pregnant. So he came back and enrolled in Morehouse to be closer to her. Pretty soon, helping raise a newborn and working night shifts became too much, so he started taking business classes at a technical college instead, doing everything from delivering newspapers to buffing hospital floors to support his family. And then he rolled at Morehouse a second time. But even with a job, he couldn't keep up with the cost of tuition. So after getting his degree from that technical school, this father of three decided to come back to Morehouse for a third time. As Frederick says, God has a plan for my life, and he's not done with me yet. And today, Frederick is a family man and a working man and a Morehouse man. And that's what I'm asking all of you to do. Keep setting an example for what it means to be a man. Be the best husband to your wife or your boyfriend or your partner. Be the best father you can be to your children. Because nothing's more important.
All right. That was a piece of the commencement speech President Obama gave over the weekend to Morehouse College. It's an all-male college. So what do y'all think? You know, was that a inspirational speech? And was it heartfelt? Or is it just something that was said as part of just regular commencement speeches?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I heard Joe talking while you muted me. Why you always? I'm the first, other than Michael, I'm the first one you reach out and grab, man.
Look, man. Get off your crybaby horse today, all right? Hey, I muted everybody, all right?
Okay.
So, let's talk about what we was talking about.
Okay. I don't know, what is that?
I got the phone call. That must be Ebony. Ebony, that's you? Let's see.
That's wild.
Yep, that was Ebony. All right. All right. So what do you think about that speech? I kind of found it kind of invigorating myself to hear him actually say some of the things, especially that what we were talking about last week, you know? So I found that kind of uplifting. How do y'all feel about it?
I thought he was a phony.
Okay.
He sounds staged every day. Every day you hear him, it's just staged.
Yeah, he tried to sound like such a preacher. The guy's a lousy speaker when he tries to really put his effort into it. Because he was trying to go for some inspirational highs, and he just didn't quite make it.
He's a campaign organizer, Joe. He's supposed to do this well.
Mm-hmm. To me, I didn't feel any real sincerity coming out of him.
If I was in the graduating class,
okay, let's get beyond, his politics and whatever, but what about the things he told those men? Do you think they were actually positive? You know what I mean?
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
I
thought he gave good advice, but that's the typical advice you hear at commencement.
I mean,
they don't
say positive stuff. This is the president here. You're supposed to come up with the most encouraging words that anyone, you know, could say. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield did a good speech after that end of the movie, Back to School. I mean, those were encouraging. That made you want to go to school and graduate. Just to hear encouraging words like that. Because out of all that hard work you put your time and effort into, and this is the only thing you get at the end is just a lousy piece of paper and a good motivation speech, no wonder why kids ain't graduating nowadays. It's sad.
But this is a predominantly black male college, okay? Now, I mean, for him to say things like stop pitting yourself, there's no room for excuses anymore. You know, is that that's a message that he's putting out there, that there's no longer time to be living in the past. Learn from it and move on. That's what I got.
Now, what did you mean by the past? Is he talking about like?
Huh?
That was
I'm sorry. What'd you say, Vern?
I said it was a good message he put out there.
Yeah,
I'll agree. You know, it was a good message, and you also have to look at the age group of guys who he was talking to. You know, we are all, for the most part, in our 30s or 40s or whatever. Now, you have some young minds coming straight out of college, and like you said, they was on their grind to get that paper, all right? You know, on the one hand, it was an outstanding speech, and even I'll even go this point. Now, realistically, the man could have said, hey, you know, I'm the president. I really don't have time to do this little speech at this little school. You know, it's not going to be on a grand enough scale. But he took his time out of his busy schedule to do that, which was honorable enough. You know, if whoever was encouraging you to go to school before that man even got there didn't motivate you enough, then his little 45-minute, 30-minute speech, that's not going to help him. So I kind of say, yeah, you know, it was a good speech and everything. But on the flip side, looking at the policies and politics and the jobs leaving and all of this and that, that's just another way to look at it, though, to say, hey, man, you know, you're putting a good speech on, but damn, the career, the job market is getting smaller and, you know, and the pay is not catching up with the economy. So, you know, it's just two ways
to look at it. Well, see, that's another thing he said, though. It's not about you only want to open your business, but how many people in your own black neighborhoods are you going to, you know, you're going to employ, you know, help unemployment? And in the beginning of it, if you listen, he said, someone who looks just like you can get in the White House. You can too. So is this his first time saying actually identifying with the black race? Or
was that just a slip?
That's
the first time I heard him do it. That's the first time I heard him do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, He got his second term now, so hey, he gotta say stuff like that.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is America. This is the land of opportunity. I mean, you can't go to Russia and expect to become, you know, something spectacular. Over here, anyone who has their mind, dedication, and that will go balls to the wall could be something. And see, you know, just because Barack Obama said that, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and expect some Mexican to become the next president. You know what I mean? I want to hear how is he taking care of the United States of America, you know, instead of throwing out a little speech saying, oh, well, you know, you too could be just like me. I mean, shit, that's basically anybody. I mean, you got all different races, you know, doing, you know, you got black entrepreneurs, you got this, you got, you know, Mexican businesses, you got Asian restaurants. I mean, anyone could do anything as if they put their mind to it. Now, Barack Obama didn't throw that out there. I mean, yeah, anyone could be there. But, I mean, it takes time. It takes work. You know, you just don't wake up one day and win the lotto. I mean, I just thought Barack should have at least threw out some more encouragement to get off your ass and, you know, forget whatever everyone's saying and go out and make your own future. But
well, the last time he did that, and he said what we need to do, and he was speaking more especially to the black community, we need to lace up our bootstraps and we need to pretty much forget about the past because we can't change any of that. That's when you had him going out, he's just against the black. Everything he talked down on the black folk. So either way it goes, you know, he damned if he do or don't, man. So he come out there, put a nice little speech together, and, hey, you still have people in that right now say, oh, well, that's, he could have did that. I mean, fuck. He didn't have to do it at all.
Well, you know what, Lo, you have a very valid point. And, Goofy, you know what, he actually did say that. because he actually told him the power of example is the thing is to use it for something larger than for yourself. So basically what he's saying is, you know, it's fine to get all this paper and what have you, but use it for something else. Don't just sit back on your laurels as far as I got my degree from Morehouse and leave it at that. No, he's telling me get off your butt and go and make something happen, not only for you, but for the betterment of your family, your community, what have you. That's what he's saying. To me, that's what he's saying. Anyway, that's my opinion. You know, and another thing I like what he said was the poverty of ambition, you know, is only if you can think about the things that you can buy, the big luxury things that you can buy, you know, so your way of thinking can cause you to be in poverty. And I thought that was an important point he told them also.
You'll stay a slave. You'll stay a slave to a system. If you got to go in, as soon as you graduate and you go and you get this great job and everything, you have to go and show the entire community now, oh, I've made it. Let me go and buy the nicest Mercedes I can find and, you know, go and get this elaborate condo that's going to be more expensive than I need to be paying for. Black people are going to do these things just for a recognition. And you're going to stay a slave to a system instead of living meek, modest, and in an affordable range that you can manage and still be able to take care of other things if things come up. You know, that's just what most black people are trained to do from children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, you're right. Go ahead, Ebony.
No, I agree. I mean, I have a friend in the U.S., and I have to say I totally admire him. I mean, he's true enough a millionaire, but you know what? He's done it on working from a very low base, starting off, you know, living in the South. I think his family came from Alabama. He was basically abandoned as a child and then adopted at 14. By a black family. He's mixed race. And he has worked himself up to a point where he's very successful. But he's done it working on transformation programs with young people. And he does it all over the States, all over the world. And, you know, it's a transformation program that's about changing young people's lives.
I'm here.
You're breathing all hard.
I only did it once.
All right, I'm sorry, Ebony. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and it's a transformation program that, you know, which is run all over the world to support young people to better lives. And I think you can do stuff that's life-changing. I think he's absolutely right. It doesn't have to be, you know, feeding more of the, you know, the rich machine. You know, say you go into banking or whatever, or, you know, you become a stockbroker or something like that. You know, like, it's just something that's going to feed even more rich people. Why not do something that will help transform the lives of people who are poor? I agree with him. There's more people that could put more in, you know, or design something or create something or, you know, that is a good challenge for someone coming out of that area. I think it's a great speech.
Yeah. Very good speech, you know. But, and, yeah. I mean, the way he was talking, you'd think that he could run for another term, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
Throwing out the Obamacare. But the thing about that Obamacare is funny because we talked about this on another show, you know, his administration, the FDA allowing these genetically modified foods and things to be pushed through without any back push, you know. And ultimately what's going to happen is these foods that are not healthy for you in any type of way will eventually make you sick. And then you're going to find out what that Obamacare is going to do for you.
Well, you know what? Oh, you know what, Lo? I'm glad you brought that up. Well, we're going to finish this out real fast. Apparently, you know, basically, man, I think there was a wonderful speech. And that was just probably the middle part of it. It was more of it. You can go to YouTube and find it. But it was a wonderful speech. It really was. And the reason why it got my attention, because of what we talked about last Thursday, you know, killing our communities from within. And basically, he was saying the same thing I was trying to say. You know, if you got the resources, help your community. You don't have to, you know, like you said, you ain't got to, you know, live in it or what have you. But, you know, give back a little bit. Or as the new saying is, pay forward, you know, and just keep building from there. And I agree with that. I think it was a wonderful speech. All right. Now, next story. And I think Mr. Lowe may have touched it here a little bit. Let me see if it's the right one. Oh, okay, yeah, we're going to go down. We're going to skip down, then we're going to come back. Monsanto Protection Act repeal effort offered by Senator Jeff Merkley. And this Democrat from Oregon basically has confirmed that he is proposing an amendment to the upcoming farm bill that would eliminate the Monsanto Protection Act. Okay, this is officially known as the Farmer Insurance Provision, the controversial agricultural provision that tucked into the budget legislation passed by Congress in March and signed into law by President Obama. And basically what it says is, this is funny, basically what it says is they can grow whatever they want to, and even if the law says no, you know, they would go ahead and they can do it anyway. About, you know, selling.
Yeah, there's no judicial review.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing can be done about that. So, you know, and of course it was tucked away and the public didn't learn about it until after it had passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's just crazy, man. You know, it was tucked away in a budget. A budget bill that averted a government shutdown. You know, so if that's the case, man, you think he has a chance of being repealed, or it's one of those things that's just going to hang out there, you're just going to have to deal with it?
It's going to be there.
You think it's going to be there?
It's going to be there. Monsanto, Clarence Thomas's name is attached to Monsanto. So is the, I can't remember the guy's name, the new head of the FDA, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
He was attached to Monsanto some kind of way, and you know it's a no win situation. For hell, if you had your own farm and Monsanto had a farm right beside yours, if some of the seeds were to blow off from Monsanto's farm onto yours and the crops start growing, they could sue you.
Wow.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. And the seeds have no nutritional value whatsoever. It looks like a regular apple, orange, or whatever, but there's no nutrition in it whatsoever. And how is it that eventually they won't even produce the seeds that they bear won't even produce more fruit? And on top of that, after so many years, nothing is going to grow in the ground there.
Because the major goal is to make sure that by around 60 years from now that humans will become infertile, sterile. They can't have kids. That's going to be one way they're going to think of destroying the human race.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, as crazy as it may sound, I watched a video and I shot it to a couple of people. Of those tests, those lab rats they had that was eating the Monsanto grain for like 90 days.
Mm.
And, you know, you're not going to get a good study if I own the business and I call you in and you work for me to do my lab research. You work for me. You're not a third party to come in and do this independent study.
Right.
So after 90 days, they will stop all of their testing because they don't want to know. That's when actually you'll get better results.
You had independent lab people in labs, to laboratories to do research beyond 90 days, and the lab rats wind up with big tumors on them.
I remember you said that.
Yeah, the testicles were smaller. The females didn't reproduce. The males, I think they had lower sperm count. And I was just a disaster.
By the third generation.
You know, and basically what the Monsanto, it says is it allows agricultural companies such as Monsanto to ignore court orders against selling genetically engineered seeds. Yeah. And the federal courts have recently ruled that the U.S. Department of Agriculture had failed to consider the potential harm some genetically engineered crops may have and acted too harshly in approving their sale. So, and the industry fought back with the Monsanto Protection Act, preventing the enforcement of court rulings. So,
and
now let me ask this question. If this is the case, who's getting paid on the backside of this? Because I can't see it. Somebody has to be making some money off this, besides just the company themselves.
Congress makes the laws. Congress is being paid to make sure that they pass laws which are favorable for the people that pay them.
Right. Lobbyists.
Yeah.
The lobbyists.
The lobbyists run America. Let's just say it.
Okay?
They bribe everybody. They blackmail everybody. They write the bills. The Congress passes the bills without even reading them. The lobbyists run the country.
Well, I can't argue with that one. Because I know I like my veteran lobbyists. They keep my benefits coming, so... I know I should say it
okay,
like
well, I mean, you know, there's a figurehead that works at Monsanto that says, hey, we're not concerned with the health aspects of the food. We're just concerned with producing as much as possible. The FDA will worry about the health aspects.
And there's
now,
another thing, too. They're supposed to have seeds and crops that are supposed to be resistant to bugs, but they're not now. So now they're growing this GMO shit. The crops aren't resistant to the bugs. So the bugs are going to eat up the crops. The crops are going to have to be reproduced, and Monsanto will have to find out some new ways of doing it, and they'll fuck things up even more. So we're in for a hell of a future. It's not us.
Our children and
grandchildren.
Yeah, that's what I ask people all the time when I talk about stuff like this.
Ebony, you keep getting phone calls?
Yeah.
And when I ask people, I'm like, you know, I understand that you're not concerned about this, but let's talk about your kids. Now, this is what your children are going to be facing. You know, you're not really going to be worried about this too much because you'll be a little older, and, you know, this will be the norm then. You know?
Right.
It'll be normal to go to the McDonald's and get, the food's already crap. But you'll go there, and there will be nothing in it that's healthy for you. Absolutely nothing. You know, and everything that you buy, because they actually want to produce all the vegetables. I think they want to actually produce all the crops Monsanto does.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I was reading something about some, so I think it's, like so many species of butterflies, bees.
Who is that?
That I don't know.
Ebony.
So many species of bees have died off from going there and pollinizing the crops.
Yeah, bees are very essential. The bees are essential for pollinating about 80% of the crops in the United States. But if they start dying off, or if they get sterile and they can't pollinate, then we don't get the crop production that we need to fill, you know, to fill the stomachs of everybody in America. So we'll be faced with a drought.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. Even though I'm allergic to them, but I understand their purpose. Yeah.
Maybe that's
so,
what's wanted.
You know, that's just downright, put it what it is. This just is trying to alter nature, period. That's all it is, basically. You know, under the guise of we're trying to make things better, you know. But who can get better than Mother Nature, really?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
right, so. Leave Mother Nature alone. Forget about the technology when it comes to agriculture. Let's stick with the electronic shit. Let's leave the crops and everything else alone. Let Mother Nature take care of it. The nutritional value of everything that we've been eating for the past 1,000 years or so has been doing just fine. Leave it the fuck alone.
Right.
Amen.
You know,
I agree with that.
You have to look at the other side. I mean, we all know that these super rich people that's in the know, they don't eat that stuff. They don't eat any of that. They grow their own foods. They grow their own animals, all that stuff. You know, they don't eat, you know, the foods from the Walmarts and the regular grocery stores or whatever. You know, for the most part, you ask any of those people that's in the know, most of them will tell you they have a ranch.
I see your point. I do see your point.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, just something we, you know, and here's another one of those things where it's just something we need to educate our kids on, so they'll be aware of it. You know,
right.
the earlier we can let them know, I do believe the better off they will be. You know,
right.
Instead of, you know, keeping them up there with what's that boy name, the square pants boy. You know, break them down, sit down and try and explain something to him. I know I do it my old crazy son. He actually understands.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it in his little words, but he gets the gist of what I'll be telling him. So, yeah. No.
Oh,
and Joe,
cool.
Joe, you're going to tell your goats about it too, all right, so they can be careful.
The goats already know.
Oh, the goats already know. Okay.
They already know.
And, you know,
that's
we had a little get-together in my house on Saturday, and mm-hmm. you know, so we went up to Sam's, and it just so happened I was reading something, and it had these pineapples from Chile.
Ebony.
Right.
And they had like this it was like a red, almost a rose color to the outside of them. And those things are GMO grown, and like I said, I was just reading something last week on the whim. And we went in Sam's, and they had them laying right in there for sale, you know. And the thing that brought it to my attention was that rose color that it had on the outside of. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we went to look at them, and sure enough, they were produced in Chile. So, you know, this stuff is all around, man. It's here.
Yeah, it so is.
You got to be aware of what you're purchasing when you go in the store and buy something.
Well, it's out there, y'all. So, you know, y'all want to go ahead and continue to eat it, go right ahead. But, hey, it's out there. We putting the information out there for you. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, Soapbox Monday. If you want to join the conversation, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or Facebook me at Let's Talk. Now, Eric, let's talk at Facebook.com or Let's Talk with Eric Jackson, Facebook.com. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So that's what's going on with that. Now, here's one that I know we got to have to talk about, y'all. Supreme Court to weigh in on legislative prayers. The Supreme Court said that it would hear a new case on the intersection of religion and government in a dispute over prayers used to open public meetings. Now, the justices have said they would review an appeals court ruling that held that the town of Greece in suburban Rochester in upstate New York violated the Constitution by opening nearly every meeting over an 11-year span with prayers that stress Christianity. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the town should have made a greater effort to invite people from other faiths to open its monthly board meetings. Now, and the court also said that the town should have expanded its search outside its borders. Now, all this was brought about by two town residents who are not Christian that complained that they felt marginalized by the steady stream of Christian prayers and challenges and challenged to practice. And they're being represented by American United, represents them for separation of church and state. Now, the Reverend Barry W. Lynn, you know, also a spokesman for America's United, he's the executive director, said a town council meeting isn't a church service and it shouldn't seem like one. Okay. You know, in 2008, you know, after residents Susan Galloway and Linda Stevens complained, four of the 12 meetings were opened by non-Christians, including a Jewish layman, a Wiccan priestess, and the chairman of a local Baha'i congregation. Okay. You know, the court found that religious institutions in the town of just under 100,000 people are primarily Christian, and even Galloway and Stevens testified they know of no non-Christian places of worship. Now, and also what I just said before, the court ruled, the appeals court ruled that they should have expanded their search outside its borders. Now, that being said, y'all, does this make any sense, really? Does this really make any sense?
Or is actually, it does.
It does?
Yes. You want me to tell you why?
Explain.
Well, in all honesty, there's never been a separation between church and state in this country. And first and foremost, you know, I've always said this brand of Christianity is incorrect anyway. How would you make a land where you supposedly the people here predominantly, for the most part, are Christians, and then you open it up and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, y'all can worship whatever y'all want to. So that's opening it up for the Satanists. That's opening it up for anybody that the pagans or whatever you can come up with. So, like I say, this, how would you allow that? If you already know, if this is your house is going to work by your house rules.
Right.
So, like I said, there's never been a separation between the church and the state anyway. So,
I mean, isn't that like, you know, pushing it a little bit too far? We're talking about a common thing is opening up everybody by your head. You know, you say a little prayer, and then that's it. So, what is the big deal? Because two people out of a city of 100,000 complained. And then to go back and testify, they knew of no other non-Christian place in the city. So what you expect the people to do? And then they did. They actually tried to accommodate them at one time. You know, but to bring someone from another city or county in to do the prayer is a little bit ludicrous to me. You know, because number one, they're a stranger. You know, I mean, a Wiccan priestess? Really? You know, that's witchcraft. You know,
and
so I'm not, you know, the Jewish layman. I mean, really, this is kind of, I don't know. Man, is this the way the country is going now to where eventually we just going to be non and void of religion, period?
This is a godless society, man. It's been that way for the longest. People haven't acknowledged it. Now that you have people talking about it, you have people that don't want to listen to it. I mean, with a lot of the ideologies that the quote-unquote new church brings about, why do you feel and believe that there's so many homos that feel that, oh, yeah, I can be a minister also. I can be, how the hell are you going to preach a specific part of the Bible that's never going to talk about anything that you're doing in your life that's wrong? You see what I'm saying? It's a contradiction. It's very totally wrong. You say that you uphold the Bible, but you're allowing everything that the Bible says not to allow. You allowing it. This is just one on a larger scale, that's all.
On a larger scale, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What you think about it, Joe? You might have quiet. Joe?
What?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think religion is a bunch of shit anyway.
So, Lord.
Whether it's Wiccans or Jewish or Christian, it's all a bunch of nut jobs believing in some invisible creature. So, you know, for people to get into battle about, well, my religion is better than your religion.
Wow. So you just be happy without no prayer, no nothing, right?
Well, when it comes to government and politics, I think politics should stay out of religion, because if it adopts a religion, then it's going to try to make that religion the central religion and impose it upon other people. So the best thing to do is stay out of it so that other people can worship whatever they want to worship. But I don't think the church or the what do they call it for the Jews? I guess the Jewish Judea crap. Leave it alone. Leave the Wiccans alone. Leave the Judea Christian crap alone. Leave the Christians alone. Leave the Mormons alone.
Well,
leave the Protestants.
Well, see, and that's the point. You know, these people weren't doing nothing but having a little prayer before each meeting. Now, two residents, because they weren't happy, they felt, you know, they were separated or for some unknown reason, decided they wanted to bring a court. And then a court of appeals actually ruled in their favor, which didn't make any sense. But, hey, let me bring Goofy and Big Chris in. Big Chris, you there? Goofy, your mic is open, too.
Yeah. We here.
Oh, what's up, man? How was your weekend?
It was nice. Yeah, the weather's getting better.
That's
how
good. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. Nice, warm weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on, man? What you think about the topic right now?
I think the topic right now is always as interesting as the rest of them. As always, it's like calling back, coming back, if I can change and chime in and talk about a few things. But as far as religion and politics, they're like husband and wife. You know, they go together. You know, forever. They have to do his part until the death part.
No, I'll just ask you, how do they go together? Many people say they should be separated, but you're saying they go together like husband and wife. Please explain.
Oh, yeah. I heard that statement. I heard that saying. Is it in the Constitution or somewhere? Separate church and state. They should not be together. But it seems like they do work together, you know. Politics is in the religious temples of church, Christianity, and Christianity is what runs this country. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of go together. Whenever it's time for election, where do the politicians go? To the church. Or now, in the last 10 years, the gay community.
Mm.
And the gay community is right here.
I think the government should be the government and the church should be the church. That's what I think.
They
Wait a minute.
The gay community can go into the religious community or they can go into politics. And we've seen that. So that, like, the gay community is right in between both. So they, like, actually, they're the glue that's keeping church and politics together.
That's a very interesting. I never heard it put like that. Wow.
So
have we just gotten to that point now to where that's actually true? To where the gay and lesbian community is actually keeping church and state glued together?
Mm-hmm.
How is that? I mean, are there no gays? They don't go to church. So, I mean.
Whoa. Goofy, yes, they do.
Yes, yeah.
No, they go to church.
And another place.
Well,
where
they might go to a gay church, but I mean, seriously, if you read the book of the Good Lord, there's no room for them in the Almighty Heaven.
The thing is, Goofy, this is the time that you're living in where everything is to be expected and accepted. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah,
like
I don't give a
before.
Shit if anyone accepts it, but if God don't accept it, I gotta ride what God has to say. And my sister's gay. So, hey, if it happens to go to heaven and she goes to hell, that's her choice.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my daddy because he kept telling me about what his mama and aunties raised him up going to church and this and that. I said, well, you know what? On Judgment Day, you'll be standing out by yourself. So regardless of what they showed you or told you, it won't matter. You'll be there by yourself, being judged by yourself. Regardless.
Exactly.
And here's another example of how the gay community is keeping church and state together. Earlier, I heard, because I like to listen before I go in, I heard about 10
right.
minutes. I came in around the time we were talking about the bees, but you were talking about the lobbies. Now, you can't tell me that they're there's not a active gay community in the lobbies, with lobbies.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Keep,
without a doubt.
There you go. The politicians are gay that go to church and Catholic and Christian, even other practices to keep these communities together. And the other thing about gay rights, this is more, to me, I think it's more of a feminist movement for women.
It is.
Every time we turn around, what does the media show? They don't show men getting married. They show two women's rights getting married. This is more for the women, this gay rights marriage thing. They always show women.
These gays want a red carpet when they come out the closet. I mean, look at the basketball player. He got a free cover on Sports Illustrated, and, you know, he obviously got a nice, good interview, and, you know, he got all this publicity.
The President of the United States. Imagine that.
Let's be honest. The guy sucked as a basketball player.
And if I was gay, I mean, you know, and I'm in a nice, I think, to be with a nice man for a couple of years, it doesn't really matter to me, you know, if my partner and I want to fight the rights of City Hall to get married. It's just stupid. A lot of women are doing this. This is not a fight for men to get married. And I don't really see too many men, you know, standing up saying, hey, yeah, let's get married, man. You know,
well, what you see, Big Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what you see is this world is being very effeminized.
Yeah.
You know. It's being very feminized. I mean, you look at the clothing industry that they have pretty much now. They make and I used to see it a lot in Europe. You see mostly the guys that, you know, had on these outfits that were kind of feminized, you know, kind of, you know, girly type or whatever, you know, jeans hugging their ass or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Look.
Yeah, and, you know, now it's everywhere. So
what are we supposed to do as normal individuals? Are we just supposed to sit back and just let this shit ride? I mean, seriously.
To a certain point, yeah. To a certain point,
that's my point there also, Goofy. This thing on what you call it is, it's a little town, not over 100,000, really not that little, but, you know, and it's majority Christian. So how can you go and say, well, you should have went outside your borders to find someone else to come in and do a prayer? We're talking about a prayer now. You know, Big Chris brought up a good point. You know, could these two women have been gay? Well, it didn't say it in the article, but could they have been, you know, gay and married?
Sure,
and which
I'm
created,
sure they were.
You know, created this, and which would, I guess, put some light onto what Big Chris said, because it kind of, you know, brings the two together. But what surprised me was that the local appeals court actually ruled in their favor, and I'm not understanding this.
I mean, you can
believe that, huh?
Yeah. First thing I got out of that was there was two lesbos. That's the first thing I got out of that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Why does the world have to stop for them? Say, for instance, I had a complaint. Shit, it would take a good 6-7 months before they even hear that complaint. But yeah, here you go. You got Luann and Mary going to make a complaint. And, oh, swat! Here's the red carpet. Oh, you're on Broadway. I mean, seriously, this is going to the gay way. For real.
I'll say it again. I said it before. If you look at it, and if you read your Bible, you will see everything now that is supposed to be right is morally and ethically wrong. And everything that is wrong should be right.
Right.
You shouldn't have two men that ever consider themselves in any type of union. You should never have that. But now it's normal. If you say anything against it, they create laws that you can be arrested for it. You can also, it could be a considered a hate crime because if you speak out against it, that's just one example. You know, even something as simply preaching. And according to the scripture, a woman is not supposed to preach. Now, it's normal. It's natural. It has to happen. The more you take a man out of his role and say, well, people shouldn't have roles and they should just coexist, the more you take a man out of his role, that's the less man he has to be.
Well, you know, for over a century, I believe, 1,000+ years, the Bible and religion was a secret. It was only meant for those of, I guess you could say, of upper class, you know, the wealthy to know about. And what we see today is the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. So what we see today just basically repeated itself throughout. A lot of noise. Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, so what we see today is the same thing that happened, you know, 1,000 years ago and 1,000 years before that and 1,000 years before that. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say. So sexual, homosexual, gay and lesbian activity is not something that should be a shock or when people come out of the so-called closet from the Hollywood movie, hip-hop, and NBA athletic industry. Oh, I'm gay. Really? I mean, okay, you know, if your favorite idol that you like to watch on TV comes out, like, I can't think of anybody right now, like Michael Jordan.
Denzel Washington
and say, I'm gay. It shouldn't be a shock. It should be like, oh, okay. That's how he just kept it away.
That's the way it is now.
That's the way it is.
And your quote. Tyler
Perry is gay.
Motherfucker is a faggot.
Yeah.
Now, your quote though, Big Chris, your quote,
yeah,
when you said nothing is new under the sun is actually a quote directly from the Bible.
Yeah. So, in love to men, this has been done for thousands of years.
Okay. But Vernon, where you at, Vernon? I ain't heard Vernon in a while. Where Vernon at?
Am I on here?
Yeah, you on. You been on.
Oh, I didn't know I was on.
Yeah, you've been on.
Yeah, but I have fell off and called back.
Yeah, I know. I saw you.
Oh, okay. I thought I was still muted. I'm sitting there eating and smacking and sound like I'm listening to Joe snoring and everything.
Yeah, I hear Joe's ass over there snoring myself.
Yeah, I hear Joe snoring.
Yeah, he had a long weekend, apparently. But what do you think about it, Vernon?
Well, I mean, like Dick Chris said, it's kind of the scriptures being fulfilled, man. Everything that the Bible speak about and everything, you know, it's being fulfilled, man. You know, your world powers are helping all that go down because everybody is. I shouldn't say the world powers. Everybody is okay with this thing now. Everything is going on now. The problem with it.
Everyone's ignoring the word of the good word.
You got a lot of people. You got a lot of people just like you said earlier. Don't even believe in God and nothing anymore. So hey,
right. Now you take something as simple as me and a few other guys sitting around. Saying, yeah, you know they have that ritual that they have to go through in Hollywood to, you know, either put a dress on or to go and lay on the director's couch or whatever. Now, if this was a lie, when Dave Chappelle said, I ain't putting on no dress, I don't give a damn what y'all offer me. If that was a lie, that man would still be all over television right now.
But
so
you know what?
Okay.
What?
It's not
go
just
ahead.
Conspiracy. Go ahead. From a friend of a friend who told me that he told a friend that it was more to that story. But he didn't really want to sit up. I remember when he said it. He was on Oprah. He didn't really want to say. You can only say so much when you're on TV. But when the camera's off, you know, he was asked, just like everybody else, no different. He ain't special to nobody else. Sexual favors to play roles. And he was, no, I'm not. Look, I'm not bending over and doing all that. So this is why people like Michael Jacksons and old school R&B artists want to make that comeback. They are blown away, pushed to the side, because they're refusing to do the extra to go platinum or have that five movie contract deal. So somebody from Dave or, you know, someone who was really doing great in the 80s, and they still got that voice, and they can get down, but they can't do it. They can't get a record deal to save their life. It's more to it than just a financial problem.
I don't think Michael Jackson refused, though. That was straight beat down.
His thing was the struggle power. He wanted power and have rights and say. It was more business. He wanted to have rights and say over his masters and where they're going to go and how to do it. And he just refused to just, play the puppet. Yeah, but all the sexual favors, I believe that, too. He played with little boys and all that. I don't care what nobody say. I've seen interviews of grown men coming out the closet right now saying, yeah, I slept with him. He wanted me to do this and do that. It was more business for him. You know? He's like,
all right, just so y'all don't think. Wow, man, I tell you, we went from praying and legislation to this. But you don't think he was, how can I say, initiated at an early age?
Yeah,
Michael Jackson,
I'm talking about. I sure do.
You know, before you know, they really got a grip on what was happening.
Yeah,
you know,
I do. I seen a picture of him as a kid. You know, he on the picture and he's throwing up them triple sixes. You know what I'm saying? Something as simple as that, you would never pay attention to it. You would never think about it unless you just do a little research and just a little checking on those things. Way back in the game, you know, coming out with hair over one of his eyes, any of that foolish shit them people do, you know what I'm saying? It's not just there for nothing.
This question, and I'm really going to, I'm really want to know what y'all think. So, do any of you believe in a thing as selling your soul to the devil?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You sell your soul to the devil every time you buy Pepsi products, McDonald's. It's different levels. You just don't see it. The physical CNI just don't see it, want to see it. And if they do know what's going on, our conscience knows what's going on. We don't want to accept it, so we just indulge in it anyway. There's a lot of levels.
What you talking about, Eric, is actually sitting down saying, okay, devil, I'll take this deal. You just give me all I want.
Right,
oh, that's,
right.
Yeah, main deal,
yeah, that's right. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about completely sell out for some financial
right.
gain and
right.
fame and status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got what
yeah.
you're talking about.
So you could be you could be the new MC Hammer. I'll give you the world, I'm telling you, you know. 40-room mansion, 30 cars, women you never thought you could sleep with, da-da-da-da. I'll give it to you. But
That's kind of like that. That's kind of like that, if you remember that Mercedes commercial, that halftime commercial. You got the guy sitting there. He's supposed to be the devil, you think, and then he got this white boy there. Looking at a car outside on the billboard, and it's like in a murky part of town. And the guy was sitting there, and next thing you know, he's sitting at the table with Lucifer himself, pretty much. You know, guy dressed in all black, and you know this, that, and the third. And he said, "I'll give you all of this. Just sign right here." You know, that was actually a Mercedes commercial.
Wow.
Actually, yeah. Go when you get a chance tonight. Go on YouTube and check out the Mercedes. I think it's Devil commercial, something like that. Halftime, Super Bowl halftime commercial for Mercedes.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, because it was something on there. that really struck me as odd, and I showed it to a couple of people that I know, and, you know, they just, you know, ditched it to the side and thought it was nothing, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. One of the most important things a person has to look at when they want to so-called sell their soul is, you know, things were going great for about 10, 15 years. You got everything you wanted. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting tired, and you can't do that. You can't just back out and say, okay, I'm done. Once you sell your soul, this is like an eternal situation here on this planet. You will move when I tell you to move. Go on tour when I tell you to tour. Make a movie. I don't care if it's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And you work up to sun up to sun down. There is no rest when you sell your soul. You've given a person pretty much your life to do as they want with it. So this is when a person gets up and say, okay, I'm done. I don't want this lifestyle no more. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them no more. They disappear. It's not as far as being killed, but as far as out of the limelight.
The limelight,
Yeah, they gone. And then
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, and then all of a sudden you hear that they're in and out of prison a lot. You know, they
drugging
and stuff like that. And they trying to explain their side of the story like, okay, no, this is not what's really going on. What's really going on is, you know, hey, they saying in so many words, I'm being set up. If y'all listen real closely, what the Biggie and Tupac situation was, it was the same person that really killed them or the same group. It really wasn't. They was beefing with each other, and they tried to explain and say so many things in so many ways on the camera. It was just, no, it just seemed like it was just part of a East Coast, West Coast thing. They trying to say, no, it ain't like that, y'all.
No, what was the guy's name? Ed Bradley interviewed a guy. Ed Bradley was, he used to work on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
You know, well-seasoned brother, master at his craft and everything. He was interviewing, was it John Denver or one of those singers that had been singing a long time, old white guy. And Ed was like, yeah, so you've been successful. You've had many records that went high up on the charts. You've done this, you've done that. So what's still your driving force? And the guy was sitting there, and with all this quote-unquote success that he supposed to have, the guy was sitting there with this smug look on his face, and he was like, well, I'm holding up to my part. He said, he's your part, what do you mean? Well, you know, a long time ago, I made a deal. He was like, he made a deal. He said, okay, if I ask you, you made a deal. He was like, yeah, I made a deal with the chief deal maker, man, and, you know, I'm just holding up to my part. So, yeah, man, sold his soul a long time ago for that fame, man. You know, and, you know, if you understand why so many people, so many artists and actresses and actors have died young, it's because they were their own blood sacrifice. You know, all of this stuff goes back to paganism. You know, so if there is to be a deal made, it has to be a sacrifice.
Okay. I'm listening.
Am I back on?
Yeah, you back on, Vernon.
Okay. Yeah. Where does it say anything in the Bible? I'm asking all y'all.
Okay.
About selling your soul to the devil, and that's just it. Ain't no going back.
Oh, you can look in Genesis. It starts off in Genesis with Eve.
No. Where does it exactly say in the Bible? I'm not talking about speculation. I'm talking about where does it exactly say that you sell your soul to the devil and there's no turning back?
I'm telling you, and it's not a speculation. This is an actual fact.
Everything
in the Bible doesn't just straight out say what needs to be said. It's not going to come out and say today, Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
I mean, but it would have to straight out say
No, Vernon, if you go and check, dang it, I can't think of the chapter, the thing, but go and check when the devil himself came down and tempted Jesus than 40 days and 40 nights. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that happened, that's basically let you know, no, you don't do it. You don't make any deals with the devil, because it surely
mm-hmm.
is, you know, damnation to your soul. So go and check that out, and that should answer your question. You know, because you think about it now. If Jesus, I mean, the devil tried to tempt Jesus with deals. You know, because he knew Jesus, but yet he didn't, huh?
But now the Bible specifically says that the only thing that a man cannot be forgiven for is blasphemy.
Right. Well, if you're making a deal with the devil, though, dang, what you call that?
Oh, I mean, just like Big Chris said, and I mean, basically, anytime we live and do what we want to do, we damn near dealing with the devil then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
willingly,
but you're not making a direct deal with the devil, though. I mean, you know, this is what I'm saying. You're not sitting down and saying, "Look, devil, you know, I worship you. I ain't gonna say that myself, you know, but I do whatever you want me to do, and blah 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 blah." Y'all ain't gonna hear me say that one.
In a way, it is. Place without words, okay? I got 18 bricks of crack cocaine coming through a nice big shipment, and I'm going to sell every last drop. I just made a deal that is very wealthy to the devil
mm-hmm.
by means. It's a big cost getting ready to come. I got to pay off police and all them other things that go through. But I made a serious deal. I never met him. I don't even have to meet the devil. You don't have to meet the devil to make deals. In person.
Okay, there we go.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you can get down on your knees and do it if that's what you want to do. But, you know, I'm just not going to say the words. But, you know, but just like, you know, it's one of those things that if you do that, I mean, if you really do that, you know, you bound, basically, as we've been talking, you kind of bound then because he's not going to stop riding you. Because you have made this deal with him, and basically you become his puppet. You know, and you know the huh?
I'm gonna have to disagree right there. I'll just
say
we'll
disagree.
Let me hear me out. All I'm saying is, if you living in sin, then what else are you doing then? You living in sin. You living straight by the standards of hell. Now,
okay,
if you repent, if you ask for forgiveness for these things, then these things can be washed away from you. Now, if you go out and, like Kurt said, blasphemy and suicide, there's no repentance from either of those. Because you kill yourself, that's it.
Well, you know what?
It doesn't say anything about suicide, though.
Yeah, it doesn't say that nowhere in the Bible.
No, it only refers to blasphemy.
Most people came up with, yeah.
Okay, well, my question is this. How would you ask for your forgiveness?
Well, see, that is the one thing that people keep asking the question. That's where that came up. You can't be forgiven for suicide because the same question keeps coming up. Well, how do you ask for forgiveness? You know, hey, I don't know.
I don't know, but it doesn't say anything in the Bible about it
because I tried to find that. Yeah. But let's get back to making a deal with the devil. Now, see, because, you know, that's worshiping another god, basically. You see what I'm saying? That's where that's falling into. That's worshiping another god.
Now,
so
if you go to your grave
worshiping the devil, then that kind of... you know, shorts you out on some things.
Right. Now, you want to get technical with that now. Hold on, one second. You know, they got different gods for different days of the week, too, now. Now, you come together and you have your Sunday worship. You worshiping the Sunday God.
Oh.
Same one said, I sat down on Saturday and relaxed on Saturday. That's the difference now. See, it only affects you when you want to look at what somebody else doing. When somebody say, show you what you're doing, hold on, wait, 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 hold on, hold on, wait, wait, wait. No, it ain't like that.
Okay, well, hey, well, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
I know exactly. I know where you're coming from.
I know where you're going too. Go ahead, Lo.
Yeah.
And I'm not making any of this stuff up. History can show it. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to go to history. Just go and read. It's a mammoth and you get it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. That's it. And you know, my own daddy tells me the reason he would never. And I asked him. I said, now, what if the pastor at your church come out and tell all of you people, we've been doing this wrong. We're supposed to keep Saturday instead of Sunday, and along with the laws that we're supposed to abide by, we're not supposed to eat certain things. What would you do? And he told me that he would go and find another Sunday church because that's the way he was brought up, keeping a tradition. And so even if you show people these things in Scripture, they will still rather hold on to their tradition.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? Here we go with that. Now, I agree with you. Saturday should be the Sabbath because it is the last day of the week. It is, and Sunday is the first day of the week. However, you know, it comes to a point where it, even though it should be on Sunday, as long as you there worshiping, you know, it's some do it on Friday. You know, some people do it on Wednesday. So does it really matter what day it is now? As long as you're in there giving your... Well, I understand what you're saying, Lo. I understand. But, however, most people, you know, even some people work on Saturday. So, I mean, I understand your point, and I've read that also. That's when I figured out, you know, Saturday is the end of the weekend. That's when the Sabbath should be, or is. However,
there you go.
You know, the Lord gave us a mind to be able to adjust to some things. You know, as long as you in there praising and giving worship, you know, doing whatever you do, talking about the woman with the big foot, I don't know. But whatever you're in there doing, you know, as long as you're doing it, I think that becomes more of the thing than just worrying about what day it's on.
Okay, now
God is God. The Lord is the Lord. There's no special days. You're not praying to Tuesday or Wednesday. You're praying to the same person.
No significance, and that's a lie. The Bible says many gods. Know what you're talking about?
But the Bible says that there shall not be no God before God.
Absolutely. But when he said, whole Saturday special. He didn't say, well, you know, we always did it on Sunday, so that's when we're going to do it. No. You are now falling behind what you want to do instead of his will. His will says one thing, but you do something else.
Look. I understand what your point is, and I'm not arguing that it should be Saturday. However, you know, it's just set up, and maybe that was the only time our ancestor could get to church was on Sunday. You know, because of working, having to work in the fields or whatever. I mean, it just, you know, may have turned out that way. However, you know, it's, how can I put it? It's like Goofy said, it's just as long as you worshiping him. You know, the Bible does say every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So whether you say, you know, it's this or that, regardless, as long as you worshiping, you're getting on your knees, doing something, it's okay. You know, it's okay because the Lord is a forgiving God. See what I'm saying? And you know, he understands. He understands. You know, the people's heart that aren't going on Sunday, the people's heart that's going on Saturday, the ones that's going on Friday, he knows this. He knows them. So whether you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're there, you worshiping him and giving him praise.
Well, see, the difference, though, bro, is it depends on what life you talk about living. Because, see, let me finish. Now, what I'm saying is the true believers, the children of Israel, and the people that were known as the quote-unquote church before the paganism was brought in, were still holding to the Saturday, the Sabbath. And until
remember
the paganism,
the Sabbath to keep it holy.
Until the paganism got brought in, that's when all of these things came. And when slavery, when those Hebrews that came off those ships got here, the only day that master wasn't beating their asses in and making them work was Sunday. They had to worship with master on Sunday. And that's how they got made into doing this. See, if you go into bondage under any other group of people, you're going to have to start living by their laws.
Well,
okay, brother. So when is a good day to worship the good Lord? Because I feel ashamed now. Now that I've gone on the day that the masters have gone to church.
Okay,
to
well,
the
answer,
Lord.
The answer
a good day.
The answer right. is simple, brother. Listen,
say it.
Any day. Oh yeah, if y'all want to have choir rehearsal on Tuesday, whatever on Saturday, Thursday, whatever. But your day to specifically come together and have your worship, your big service, that's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
Well,
okay, this ain't coming out of my mouth. You can read that for yourself.
No, if we're gonna keep going, well, this is what you do, because there's no way you're gonna turn a lot of people from church on Sunday, because that's probably the only day they don't have to work. So if that is the case, then what you do is gather at least you, your wife, and your kids, because the Lord said when there's two or three gathered in my name, I'll be there. And that's if you keep Saturday Sabbath, you go in your home, and that's when you have your service. It's not hard to do. And I mean, let's be real. We going in circles here. Well, I mean, we're going in a lot of circles, and it's just simple. It's simple. As long as you worship in the master, then there should be no issue about what day it's on. That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
I understand
low point, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right. The way I see it, he said that, I don't know who the caller was, he said that the only day that the slaves weren't getting whipped and beaten on was Sunday to the church with them and worship with them. Well, I beg you pardon, please. They were getting their ass whipped. They were forced to go mentally. They were mentally getting whipped to worship the way that white slave master saw fit for them. Originally, these people, so-called slaves in Africa, were Muslims and from different Christian backgrounds that were totally different from the way this white man at that time in that slave situation took place. They changed everything how the Africans, they changed everything about the Africans' religion and forced them to think and look at pictures of how their religion is and transformed. It took over hundreds of years for them to say, yes, this is how you should worship, not God, but my God and the way I see it. And so as far as I'm concerned, that Christianity version right there can kiss my ass.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me bring Renee in. I see she had her hand up. Miss Renee, are you there? Miss Renee?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You know, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm hearing what you guys are saying, and it's just amazing to me because I think sometimes you forget the whole purpose of there is only one God. He states that clearly in the Bible. But when you're reading the Bible, and you're interpreting
it. It also says that there are many gods.
There are many
gods,
but he does not want you to worship them. He only wants you to worship the one true God. So you need to read the Bible according to what it says, and those things it read are those things that are the word of God. And those other things are the things that are interpreted by others. So I think you need to understand the difference between the two. Don't take everything so literally. That's why you have a New Testament and an Old Testament. And you're just focusing on the Old Testament. And then, you know, Jesus Christ died for our sins. So when he died for our sins, not that all of those things went out of the way, but that we have to look at the New Testament as our way of life. So you're taking everything out of context.
But the New Testament and the Old Testament go together, right? You got to have one Bible, right?
Right.
They do go together, but you have to remember, one thing is history, and one thing is factual, and you're getting the two things mixed up, and that's why
really?
You're confused about what. Oh yeah.
I think what's going on now is there's a confused lady
hey,
on the
hey,
line.
Right?
No, ain't no need
to get into this argument, Low, because
yeah,
that's
right
modern day.
There.
That's the modern day Christianity. Way of thinking,
it's not
I mean,
about it's not a matter of modern day Christianity.
It is about modern, ma'am.
It is
about modern day Christianity.
It's,
you think you can throw
really
away
not.
One part of the Bible because Jesus
no,
specifically
it doesn't go
said,
away.
"Listen, you have been taught one way." Jesus specifically
no.
said, "I did not come to change the law, only to fulfill it."
But no, what Renee is saying,
so
some of,
he didn't
some
change
of
anything.
Well, you need to hear what Renee
of...
is saying instead of talking over her, sir. What Renee is trying to say is some actual things that is actual.
Well, I've been quiet because y'all been jumping on me every time I started to talk. Ain't nobody let me talk. Now you want to
talk. All right, wait. Before we get started on that route, hold up.
Speak.
Okay, go ahead, Renee. And when Renee gets in this, Vernon.
Something true, they want
to
jump in.
Chris?
Well, I've been trying to talk.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. All right, hold on. Go ahead, Renee, when Renee finished burning. Okay, go ahead, Renee.
Okay, if you understand which each book of the Bible represents and what each book of the Bible means, then you can go back and you can tell me what the Bible means. But it's very difficult if you haven't read the Bible through three or four times or five or six times to actually interpret what the Bible is saying because it's so mixed up in history and it's so mixed up in time and it's so mixed up with different people interpreting it in different ways. You have to remember that the scriptures are written by other people, not by God himself. The only thing that's written by God are the words in red in the Bible. And if you aren't blessed enough to have a Bible that's written in red, then you will be confused about the order that it is coming from. You start in Genesis and you end in Revelation. But then there's a whole bunch of other books that you have to take and understand. For instance, when you read the book of Psalms, it's just songs of Solomon and You get these words that you hear as poetry. It's not necessarily meaning that the things that they did in the Bible then were they did beat their slaves. You had a master over things. Just like you do, the master is God. He is over all. And until you can explain to me the difference between the two, then you are very confused about which order that you're putting things in. So therefore, you naturally will lead it to be that it's a slave mentality that the Bible runs from. But that's actually not it at all. God wants us to live our life according to what he has put forward. Since he is the creator, he then can tell us how and what we should be doing. It's up to you and each individual person to decide on which direction you want to take your life. I would hope that you would choose life instead of death, okay? Because when you live your life through Christ. When you live your life through Christ, he blesses you abundantly. When you choose not to live your life according to Christ's word, then you don't get those blessings. You miss those blessings. And he's saving them up for you for when you're ready, but you're missing the whole point of being in the church and being around the church. It's not just to worship him. It's also family, fellowship, love. You get a lot of other things that you don't necessarily get when you're out there on your own. Now, the devil wants you to believe that you're here alone because that's more people for him to put against God. But the actuality is God wants you to live in a society, in a family. If you look at the Old Testament, people always lived in families. In groups of people, and all of those people together worshiped him at one time. Now, in the Old Testament, you're right. They did say the Sabbath was Saturday. But in today's society, when we go back to the New Testament, it says you must worship God according to his will. And since we are people that have to work Monday through Friday, naturally it's going to be, it would be nice if we could all take off Fridays and worship on Fridays and then rest on Saturday. But we actually can't do that. People have to make a living. Your employer is not going to tell you, you can't come to work today because we're off. That's not how this world works. So we have to, pray for our leaders. We also have to live in this world. And God understands that. So he's made the holy day to be Sunday, which is fine. Which is fine. There's no problem with that. There's none. Now, you can do it upon your own. There's lots of people that go to church on Saturday. There's lots of people that go to church on Saturday and from sunup until sundown. They don't eat anything that they shouldn't eat, and that's all good if that's how you want to live. But that's why there's different types of religion. There's different types of religion. So it's up to you to interpret which way you want to go.
All right, Vernon.
Well, I mean, like I told Lo earlier, ain't no need. A person that's been taught that way, you can't break that mold, man. Yeah, you can worship God any. You can worship God any day of the week you want. You can give Him praise any day of the week you want. But the Sabbath day, what Lo is talking about, is actually on Saturday. It's on Saturday. People want to say that, you know, the Old Testament this, the Old Testament that. Jesus even quoted scriptures and things and that was directly dealing with the Old Testament. He lived it as he walked in his walk here. He lived the same thing, the laws, you know. But once you have been taught that, oh, those ain't nothing but Mosaic laws. Those are the main Mosaic laws. But the Ten Commandments and those laws were actually handed down from God to the children of Israel. So you can call it what you want, and you can say what you want about it and believe what you want. But like I said, if you want to believe in the Roman Catholic way of teaching this thing, then you're going to keep on believing that. It ain't nothing nobody can do to shake you, make you feel any other way about it, because your mind is made up. That's what you've been taught. That's what your grandparents did. That's what your great-grandparents did. And the trend is going to carry on. But actually, there's a lot of messed up things going on with the way that we worship and we do in these churches now. And I'm done. I'm not going to try to persuade you on one way or the other. You do what you want. You do what you will.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic as I grew up. But then I became a Baptist when I got married to my husband. And I found out a lot of things that I didn't know. I found out a lot of things that I didn't know because I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I was educated in Catholic church.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ma'am. If you was raised Roman Catholic, then you turned Baptist. You only a branch off the Catholic Church when you went to the Baptist Church.
No,
Oh,
sir.
Yes, you are.
I disagree with you because Catholic is totally different than Baptist. It's totally different. Totally different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
totally
because
different.
It's just like the thousands of church different religions we have now.
The reality is that I am what you would call a Christian Baptist, because I believe that there is only one true God, and I can only get to heaven through Him. I don't have to go through the priest to get to heaven. I don't have to talk to Jesus only through the priest. I don't have to go through the priest to get my blessing. I can go directly to the Father, directly to Him, and ask for my blessing. That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah, right. You ain't got to go through
that. That's a huge difference.
That's true.
And I know
that
my salvation, is going to be, I know where I'm going when I pass away. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I am because I live my life according to the Word. And that's in all aspects. Now, it doesn't. People ought to always agree with me, but you know what? I'd rather take life over death. And I'd rather have myself go to heaven, my soul go to heaven, than not know where I'm going to go. I'd rather make that a strong distinction that I am going to heaven. I don't want to take a chance that maybe I'm wrong. I don't.
But Sunday worship was started in the Roman Catholic Church. I know you don't want to acknowledge that, but you need to read your history.
I didn't acknowledge that. I did not say I did not acknowledge that.
You need to read your history.
What I said was the thing was started in the Roman Catholic.
She didn't say she didn't acknowledge. No, she didn't say that.
Look, I can't hear you, and I'm in a bad spot.
Here's what I'm going to say. You know, as I mentioned before, I understand the Saturday thing. I understand that. You know, I've read up on that, and I know all about that, too. However, I'm with Renee, and I think I said that earlier. You know, in today's society, most people work on Saturday. You know, yeah, it'd be fine if we all could say, okay, from now on, we're going to change our Sabbath to Saturday, but we can't do that. You know, now, if, like I said before, if you were that intent on it, you know, hey, have your own worship service in your house on Saturday. And then, you know, but the bottom line is, as long as you worshiping God, you know, there should be no what day it's on, because I'm like, Renee, I'd rather choose life over death. You know, it's just that simple.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we all have the creed that we believe there's only one God. And you can worship Him without being around anybody else. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
But that being said, who cares what day it's supposed to be on?
Pretty much. Well, I guess what I'm saying, Eric, is according to the scripture, you know, the Sabbath, you know, that's all I was saying, is what day the Sabbath is on.
Right.
You know,
well,
that was my entire thing, you know. But
I have a question for you. Can I ask you a question now? Now, there's a lot of things that they used to do in the Old Testament that they no longer do. We no longer do sacrifice.
So?
We no longer take our first or our best.
Hold on.
I mean, we don't give sacrifices like that on the altar.
One point at a time.
But that's because the ultimate sacrifice has been already given up. You don't have to do that anymore to get to God.
Yeah, but you're going the same way when you say that you can't worship God.
If you read the Old Testament, right there in the end,
when
you get close around the book of Malachi, it'll tell you that God that the sacrifices God said they stink to His. He didn't even have no respect for the sacrifices no more. So in the coming of Jesus, God didn't even see no need in their sacrifices no more because they were living and doing what they want to do and doing their sacrifices, but then His sacrifice was Jesus. Now you don't have to do that sacrificial thing because the priests and everything were so corrupt they doggone.
Okay.
Hello, are we still?
I hear you.
If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that. That's the reason we don't do the sacrifice anymore. Well, we don't have to do the sacrifice thing anymore.
I know why we don't do it anymore. I've read the Bible 3 or 4 times, so I know why we don't do the Bible.
I mean, you asked the question. You asked the question like I was going against the Bible.
I'm just trying to understand where you can single out one thing and not single out something else. Look, God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to make sure that we know who He is. And we don't do that. So, and if you're saying that you can't worship God because church is only on one day, then that's
what you're saying. Wait, who said that?
I'm just asking.
Nobody said that.
I'm asking.
Okay, let me speak for me.
Let her finish first. Let her finish first. You still got more, Renee?
Win in and come back out and win in and come back out.
Okay.
Nobody said that, you can only do this. No. You can, like I said, if you're going to have your Bible study, whatever the case may be, this, that, any day of the week, that's fine. The Bible said, hey, no, I take that back. The Most High said, I'm going to take this day right here and set it apart and hallow it, which means to make it holy above all others. And now you have people saying, well, you know, that's the old time and people have to work on Saturday. And regardless of what you have to do, He already understands that you have to take care of your family. But that is still the day He sets aside for you to enjoy all these things. They had Sunday worship before Christ was even born. The pagans was already doing that before Christ was even born and thought about it. And so, like it was said before, when paganism intertwined with quote-unquote Christianity, that's when it became against the law to keep the Sabbath. That's when the Sabbath, quote-unquote, got switched to Sunday. And the reason why they took the Apocrypha out of most of the Bibles, the Roman Catholics did, is because if you read that Apocrypha, you will find so much information that pertains strictly to keeping those laws and those ways, and there will be no deviation from it. Because if you don't have the Old and the New Testament and the Apocrypha, you still don't have a complete Bible.
Well, as far as I understand, and as growing up as a Catholic, we never really referred to the New Testament. We always referred to the Old Testament, and we lived our life according to just the Old Testament. Now, as you go through life, you understand that if you live your life according to just the Old Testament, you're limiting yourself to what's in the New Testament and those things that God has put forward in the New Testament. So being a Catholic and growing up as a Catholic and taking my first catechism classes and first Holy Communion and going through, you know, all the classes I took as a Catholic, I understood that I could not get to heaven without going first through my priest and asking for my forgiveness and asking him for my blessings and asking him for my penance and giving confession only to him because I was not holy enough to go to the Father on my own. With that set aside, we now understand with the death of Christ that he has given us our voice and he has given us our power and that we can go straight to him, directly to him, not before anybody else. And we can ask him for our blessings and we can ask him for our forgiveness and we can ask him for all of those other things that we want to ask for. We can ask for those. In turn, we must do what he asks us to do. And that's going back to the Old Testament, where you have Exodus, and you go and you get all the Ten Commandments, and you understand what they say, and you live your life according to. They're not hard. They're very simple. They're very easy to do. It's just a matter of you looking at them and referring back to them and understanding what they're saying and live your life according to the way that it's written for those things. We have come so far. We have come so far from that that sometimes we forget that there is only one true God, and we should go through him. And if we can't do that, then I don't know what you people are going to do, but I know where I'm going at the end.
Is let me ask you a question, Renee. Is Christ God?
Sounds good to me.
Christ is God. Christ Father,
is
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, the Son,
God.
And the Holy Spirit. Father, the Son,
the
and
Father,
the Holy Spirit are one.
The
they're not two or three
is,
things.
The
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
One power.
But Jesus said, but the Bible says specifically that not even Jesus know the day or the hour that this thing gonna come to a close.
It's one power. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one power.
Correct me. He said not even he know. The word said not even his own Son know the day nor the hour.
Once
Jesus
again, the holy words and simple sentences
Jesus specifically
out of context,
said that he was going to be at the right hand of the power. Ain't that what he said?
He is. That's the Father,
okay,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now,
see, there,
the Father,
come this, that's
a
Catholic. That's
a
Catholic
not,
teaching
no,
right
no,
there.
No, no,
I know what you. I know what you're speaking
Christian
about. You're speaking about the holy. You're speaking about the so-called Holy Trinity, which I will never exactly say that there is exactly Holy Trinity because
in the
there
book
is one.
Of Matthew,
four,
you go to the book of Matthew.
What?
No.
Is it talking about the Holy Trinity in the book of Matthew?
If you know what I said was it's in the book of Matthew, it says that I have given you my Son. If his
okay
Son is not a part of him, then who is he?
Oh,
no, it's immaculate conception, we know. We know it's immaculate conception, right?
Yeah,
so we know that
he's
Mary is really no DNA of Mary in Jesus. It's immaculate conception. Am I right? Yes or no?
Oh, well.
Come on, let's break
Wait. No, yeah, let's break it all the way down.
Don't get scared.
Let's
now
break it
come
all.
On, you
no,
far.
No, ain't nobody getting mad.
Right.
Are you going to listen or what? Let's break it all the way down. Now, first and foremost, Joseph is Christ's biological
earthly
father.
Earthly. That's not
I said that,
it.
Yeah.
Earthly.
I said that. He made it. He came out of
no,
Joseph.
He didn't. No, he did not.
See, here you go with the foolishness. There's the,
no,
this,
you're
the only way.
No. If you
see,
go back to the book
this,
of Matthew,
here you go
clearly,
again where you
clearly
see what you have been taught.
No,
and it's
no,
been
no,
wrong.
No. You need to read the book of Matthew. You need to go back to read
actually,
the Bible.
Actually, who I need to talk to is your husband because I don't have time
to
wait going back and forth with a woman about the Bible.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
I know the Bible just as well as my husband. It doesn't matter.
Uh-oh.
I can read just as well as him.
Hold on.
I can read.
I got something
hold
to
on
say.
Minute,
I got something to say. Hold on. Time out. Go ahead, Chris. Whoever said that about the woman, you said something I've been thinking for the last 10 minutes. I wanted to ask you, man, to begin with, briefly, can you make a quick statement on...
I sure can.
No, just a man. I like to know, fellas, do you or do you not have a problem with women teaching you about religion?
I don't have a problem with that
problem
at all because the Bible.
Because it sounds like there is a little bit of
animosity there with a woman coming in with just as much knowledge or challenging your thoughts, just a little.
Well, I actually don't have a I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it because in the Bible the women prophesy too, you know. If you read the scripture, you know, they
okay.
prophesy.
That's mm-hmm. what the Bible mm-hmm. say. I'm not asking you mm-hmm. what the Bible
nope.
say. Do you?
I don't have a problem with it.
Don't run.
No. You're talking to me, Chris. You're talking to me because I'm the one that says.
Oh, okay.
This was a thought I had about 10 minutes ago. I want to know from all the men, because there are some men in society and religion that think, oh, it's just a damn shame for a woman to even say the word God in front of a congregation. This is true. I've heard.
But let me ask this question. Because we can't let Lo off the table yet.
Don't let me off the table.
What's this? You can't talk to a woman about the Bible. What's up with that?
I'm trying to explain something to her that's coming straight from Scripture, and she's still giving me the conjecture that she knew from growing up and from what she's recently learned in converting
recently.
To being a Baptist.
I find that a bunch of rhetoric, because if you talk to her husband and he says the same thing, then what? You want to go to another man or another man or another man?
Actually, that would have to be as far as I need to go, because Chris.
Because
I don't know how much of the Bible
so
you know.
They're going to please.
Wait. Everybody, calm down for a moment. Here's my question. If you're so set in your beliefs to where you won't have an open mind as far as what Renee's saying, how do you expect anyone to have an open mind to what you're saying? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm going to give you my answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Answer is this. If I'm bringing you information strictly from the book, and you come back to me, well, yeah, but this and yep, then you're not entertaining anything I'm saying, because you're stuck in the rut you were in before we started speaking. And you're not going to open yourself up to anything.
Okay,
let me
put it like this then. Now, in the case of Renee, she's throwing scripture right back at you, but yet you keep trying to deflect that somewhere else. What makes that so different?
What scripture has she thrown at me? I was trying to explain a few minutes ago. Just a few minutes ago, I was trying to explain that Joseph is physically Christ's father. Of course, the Most High is all of our spiritual fathers, but unless we came through a man's loins, we would not be here. And most people believe, he was here by the Spirit. If that's the case, then what about John the Baptist? Did he have a physical father?
Yes,
that's
he did.
Absolutely. And that is what makes Christ made him be able to come here, live, and try to make him special in his birth.
He was special in his birth. He was special in his birth. And let me tell you how he was special in his birth. And I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I can't give you exact scriptures, but I do know it's in the book of Matthew. And do you remember, if you've ever read the book of Matthew, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And then an angel came to her, and she would tell her that she would be with child. And she said, mm-hmm. How can I be with child when I've never had, you know, relations with any man? He said, this
mm-hmm.
is from the Father, directly from the Father. When she
mm-hmm.
told Joseph, his first instinct was to run away, because it was not his child, because he never slept with her. So you're telling me that Joseph is the father of Jesus. Biologically, it's impossible, because they never had relations until after Jesus was born. So
the books were put in backwards.
The book wasn't put in backwards. You're backwards.
The book was put in backwards.
You need to go back to Luke, which should have came before Matthew. You need to go back to Matthew, because it lays it
mm-hmm.
out clearly
okay.
in Matthew.
Okay, well, do you know specifically how the Hebrew law worked?
How did the Hebrew law work? She should have been shunned, but Joseph said he put himself in the forefront and said, I will still marry her. And he did marry her. But we all know, if we've ever read the birth of Jesus Christ, you know that Mary and Joseph never had relations until after Jesus was born. So you are putting
how do mixed how up. Do we know what how do we
Open
know what actually happened before
Open your Bible.
Before he
Open
was
your
born?
Bible. Okay, go
oh,
to the
yeah,
book
that's,
of, go
that's
to
what
the
I'm
book
trying
Luke.
To tell you right now.
Go
like
to the
I
book
said,
of Luke.
Whose lineage is where? Whose lineage is where? Because Christ is right in.
Christ
is
directly
is
from the Father.
Directly
he has no lineage from Mary. And he is only from Joseph. He's
I
a masculine conception. Come on
I can't
now,
go along
read the Bible.
I can't go along with neither one of y'all because both of y'all done jumped off text, man.
I'm trying to stay
y'all
on,
but y'all done got into speculation and the reading and your study Bibles because that a lot of stuff y'all are saying now ain't scripture. It is not scripture, man.
It is scripture.
Oh no,
you
it's
need
not.
To go back
what Bible are you reading from?
Okay,
hold on a minute.
All right, thank you. Lord. Vernon.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say what you were just saying, because I want to touch on what you just said.
My thing is this, is sticking to scripture, man. All that speculation and that stuff you read in the different study Bibles that people make, a lot of times these study Bibles, people are doing a lot of, you know, some of it is speculation, how they feel and the way they interpret the thing. You know, that was my thing. And that's what it sounds like both of them is coming from when they talking about the deal with Jesus, man. The only thing we can go on and that I can go on when it comes to that is the fact of what the Bible say. And that is all. And when you get away from
okay.
the scripture, that means you adding to or you taking away. That's
okay, Vernon. Okay, Vernon. In your opinion, what does the Bible say about Jesus and how he was conceived?
He had no earthly father.
Ah.
He didn't?
No.
He had no earthly father, according to the scripture.
Oh, are you sure? You sure?
I never seen in the scripture where Joseph laid with Mary and Jesus was conceived.
Joseph never laid with Mary until after Jesus was born.
It doesn't say anything about that.
He said, according to how he sees it. So let him explain his way and what he thinks is what happened with Joseph and Mary, because all four of us is going to have a difference.
It doesn't say anywhere in the scripture where Joseph laid with Mary.
I tell you what I'll do.
I'm going to go to Kings, and I'm going to get his Jesus lineage, and you'll see that Jesus came from Joseph. All of these fathers and sons
come from Joseph.
Okay, well, put it how you want to. If you want to make him an immaculate conception, which means a spirit, came down and put that in that woman. If you want to do that to him,
that's what it is.
That's the reason why they had the flood. The scripture says that Jesus was the Word of God that was manifested into flesh. That's what the scripture
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the scripture say. It didn't say nothing about no man and no woman laying down making him, cuz.
No, it did not.
Okay, well, my question again is, if you want to make him an immaculate conception, Why would you do that? Listen, because I'm interpreting it only one way. This is what happened. This is why the flood came about. Because the sons of man came down and laid with woman. That was the immaculate conception right there when the angels came down and slept with women.
And God said that he wasn't going to allow that to happen.
So why would he do it if he said they couldn't do it?
Look, Jesus is here to save our sins.
Hey,
that
just
was his
this,
purpose.
Hey, just,
that was
just hold all of this,
here.
And I will give you all your information
died on the cross.
Tomorrow.
That's why he
hold all of
on
this,
cross.
And I'll give you information tomorrow.
Jesus actually told what she's saying. And I agree with her. He took the place of the sacrifice. All the animal sacrifice.
He became our
forgiveness. Now he puts all that weight on his shoulder. But you got to realize that Jesus was already in existence. Jesus was the Word of God. He already had his place in the kingdom.
Right.
He was a spirit. That's fact. He had his place in the flesh.
I agree with that.
And the only way he could come in the flesh was to be born through a woman.
Absolutely. From a man.
Okay. And it didn't say nothing about coming through Joseph Lawrence.
No.
Now, that's speculation right there. That's what makes Jesus special.
That's what makes Jesus like no one else.
Right.
That's what makes Jesus the way Jesus is. That's why Jesus could take the things that we could not, because he was part of God. So you're sitting here telling me that Joseph and Mary had a baby, and that was their baby, and they took all our sins. No, that was not. That's not even feasibly.
How could it not have been?
I need to go back to the Old Testament again.
You don't need me to do anything. How can it not have been? Before you start quoting it, I really would,
because you're not making no sense.
I'm making a lot of sense. And the thing is, as far as the
my question is this.
Now, if Mary and Joseph, was Mary a virgin? First question.
Mary was a virgin.
Actuality, the word virgin shouldn't even been there. The word, it should have been maiden. And that means a woman of a marriageable age.
Maiden is the same thing as virgin. She had not been touched.
Right.
Maiden means she had not been dealt with her.
That's not true. You go back and look in your song. It is true.
What is a maiden?
Maiden is a woman of marriageable age. Period.
No, I'm not looking at nothing in my phone, girl. I'm driving.
I said look in your strong. I said when you get a chance, look in your strong concordance.
Like this. Oh, boy. This is great.
Absolutely. Like I said, look in your Strong's Concordance, and the word is a woman of a marriageable age.
Of a marriageable age that has not been touched.
Right.
You told me where it says has not been touched.
She is a virgin.
She has not been touched. She is a virgin.
Like I said.
Don't read half of it and quit. Read the whole thing. I don't. Just look it up in the dictionary.
It's in a dictionary. Just look it up in the dictionary. It'll tell you what a maiden is. It'll tell you what a virgin is. It's in the
dictionary.
It'll tell you. Any dictionary.
In a regular dictionary or
Bible
dictionary?
It'll tell you what a virgin is. In a regular standard dictionary, it'll tell you what a virgin is. It'll tell you what a virgin is. Yeah.
I'm walking to my Strong's right now, so I don't even have to deal with the Bible.
Lord, hammer.
I wish I had mine with me. But I ain't got it.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, like I said, when you're dealing with scripture, you can't speculate.
You cannot.
People won't.
You either know it or you don't know it. If you don't know it,
I'm
it shouldn't be quoted.
I'm not gonna sit here and lie like I'm living it because I'm honest enough to admit that I'm not living it, but I know a lot about it, and I do know that people now want God to bend toward them rather than them bending toward God.
I won't disagree with you. I won't disagree with you.
I got to work on Sarah.
It will be very hard to live strictly according to Scripture because for one. Jesus said self, you have to deny yourself. And in denying yourself, you got to give away. You got to give up all the stuff that you feel like is right or you think might have been right because, you know, you got to have a renewed mind. You got to lean toward the ways of God.
All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what makes us human. I hear a lot of noise in the back. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. So just because you're a sinner, which we all on the earth are sinners, because there are no perfect people, none. So it's not a matter of you. Wait a minute. Let me finish. It's not a matter of you trying to be perfect to go to church. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to get involved in church so that you can then
hold on, ma'am. Did I say that?
No.
Did I say that?
No, what she said was, is that
I said,
you know,
we should be living like, we should be trying to live Christ-like, like God. We should try, be trying to walk and live the ways of Christ, in the ways of Christ.
Yeah, but
well,
you realize that's an unattainable goal, right?
Say what
now? That, right? That's an unattainable goal. We are never going to be
Okay, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. Let me say something.
Okay, because you like to quote scripture and everything, sir. Where does it say we have to, in the Bible, we have to live Christ-like? Where does it say that?
Where does it say that?
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to live according to the scripture, now I'm not saying that the Bible lets you.
Where does it say?
But if you're going to, if you're going to deny yourself and do the will of God, you're going to have. I mean, the will of God. What Christ do is the did was the will of God.
Where does it say in the Bible that we have to live? Well, I have to live Christ-like and deny
myself. You can live the way you want.
Where does it say that? Because you said
you can live the way you want to live.
Oh, no.
Let me help you out. It doesn't say
that.
It doesn't say that.
Because he's not going to say that.
Didn't I say earlier that it didn't say that? What do you want me to keep saying it? Yeah, I said that a while ago. No, I didn't know. It does not say that.
But you were talking in confidence saying you have to deny yourself of everything.
Well, that's what the word. I didn't say that.
No.
I didn't say that. The Bible says that.
No,
The Bible says deny yourself.
Where does it say that?
No.
Where does
the
it
Bible
say
says deny yourself.
Where?
No.
That was the
scripture.
Where does
so
it
doesn't.
Say that?
It does not.
No, it doesn't. Where
it doesn't.
What's not true?
Hold on, wait.
It never says in the Bible anywhere that you should deny yourself of anything.
Yeah.
Now, you have
that's
a choice in anything that
I'm
you have to do.
About,
you can get up in the morning, you can go to work, or you can lay in the bed all day.
That's that modern day Christian stuff. Now, you know what Jesus was talking to the disciples.
Hello?
When the man come up and said he was dead.
You have to, you know, zap some people out.
Okay, wait, y'all. All right, we're going to have to end it right there. And this is a good segue into tomorrow's show, which is Sex, Lies, and the Pulpit. So, yeah, we can continue this one tomorrow because I already see it's going to be hot and popping.
It ain't going to be hot and popping. People want to do what they want to do, Eric.
We'll discuss it more tomorrow. All right,
Chris, we'll discuss it more tomorrow. Hey,
so, only thing I got to say is load up your shotguns because it's gonna be a bumpy ride. as always, say before we get up out of here, I'll let y'all get y'all last words in. Oh
okay.
Man, low left. Oh, tell him it's all good.
Oh,
anyway,
let's go, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Renee, your last word.
I would just encourage everybody to pick up the Bible and read the Bible and find out for themselves, and don't just listen to what people say, because sometimes people don't always know what they're talking about. So listen, find out for yourself. Open the Bible. And then the thing is, you know, women are great teachers. We have been teaching since the beginning of time. Children learn from their mothers first before they go off to school. All of these men out here, they're professing that they don't know the word of God. So if you learn from your mom from the day one that you were born, she taught you everything. So women are great teachers. So that's what I have to say.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And we hope to hear your voice again tomorrow, if you can.
Yes.
All right, Vernon.
Well, like when they said, you know, it's good for people to read the Bible for themselves. And like I said, not go on speculation. Don't add nothing to it. But that scripture does say that, and I will have that scripture loaded up and ready for her tomorrow. It won't be to prove her wrong, but I just want her to see that it says that the only way that you're gonna do that thing that Christ was doing when he was here is that man was gonna have to deny himself to do it. It does.
All
say
right.
That.
Okay.
And
what
I will bring
say?
It to her tomorrow.
All right. Can't wait. All right. Thank you, Vernon. All right, Big Chris, the honors are yours. The last one for the day.
I would like to say thank you for allowing this show to take place, because without you, great minds like myself and others cannot get on the air and go head on with great topics that, that you bring to us every day.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Two things I like to say within 1 minute, or I think it's a 2 minute time I have. The first thing is, yes, women are the fruit and the beginning of all teachings, and we get our teachings from the mother from the moment we come out the womb, trying to get air and get milk to feed ourselves from her breast to her knowledge and wisdom about religion, life in general in itself. And the woman needs to be acknowledged and respected for that instead of looking down on as, you know, you play the back. And, you know, in a man's society, it wouldn't be nothing without this world of a woman and her wonderful presence. And happy Mother's Day every day to every woman, that are, to the, all these great teachers out here. And it just moves me so much to talk about how wonderful a woman is in this society. I really don't have anything else to say except by saying women need to be respected and uplifted, you know, in order for this society to go anywhere.
All right. Thank you, Big Chris. I appreciate that, man. And I hope to see you tomorrow also. All right, y'all. That was another great. Oh, man. Well, you can't ask for a better Soapbox Monday to that, huh? Hot conversation, and, you know, everybody on their P's and Q's. Just imagine what it's going to be tomorrow when the topic is sex, lies, and the pulpit. And I'm sure we're going to revisit some of the conversations that we did talk about earlier today. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, I'm just speechless, man. I mean, at the conversation, because it was just that good. You know, how can I come back with a closing? Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it and get out of here. You know, basically, you know, it's good to read your Bible. It's one of those things that you should do. You should read your Bible, because that is where you're going to get all your guidelines for how to live. Of course, there's many different teachings out there that will tell you this and tell you that and say this happened and that happened. But if you don't read the Bible yourself to set yourself up to receive the actual message from God himself, you know, get on your knees sometimes and just pray and ask him to help you, give you some clarification on what the good book is saying. Because just because we sit down and read the Bible doesn't mean we are comprehending and understanding exactly what's being said. You have to get on your knees and ask for comprehension so you will get the real meaning. And like a couple of my callers said today, speculation is not a good thing. Because usually when you speculate, you go down the wrong path half the time. So think about that, y'all. You know, pray. Ask for confirmation, you know, clarification, and justification as to what the book is saying. The Bible. Of course, I know there's different versions out there. Some are worded, you know, in what they call the plain English now, the easy read version. I myself prefer the old Bibles, you know, where what thus says the Lord is in red. So I can determine who said what and to what extent. But even with that, you still have to have clarification, justification of the Bible. Man, hey, you know, one thing, I'm going to close out real fast. I'm going to say, look, it's simple. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Does it really matter? If you worship the Lord, you believe in the Lord, every day should be your Sabbath then. You know, you can praise him every day of the week if you want to. That is your choice. Of course, we have set the standard to where Saturday is today. And yes, it does say, you know, in the Old Testament about Saturday. But you got Sunday. It's all right. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Heck, worship him every day of the week. Then you don't have to worry about which day is the Sabbath. But of course, as humans, we get stuck on things like that because we just have to say, this is our day. This is what it's supposed to be. Well, eventually, y'all, you'll really get down to it. If you worship him every day, you won't have to worry about Saturday or Sunday. And those were my closing remarks for the day. Oh, man. I almost started preaching there for a moment. We got to watch that. All right. Well, that's the show for today, y'all. Join us tomorrow for Sex, Lies, and the Pulpit. And I'm sure it's going to be some hot stuff. Now, if you should have to have any comments, just send me an email at ericlesstalk@gmail.com or go to my Facebook page and leave me a message, friend me. Just check out the things at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. I'm always there checking it out. And I'm, you know, putting things on there, you know, just general knowledge so we can know. Because if we don't pass the information around, then it does no good for us to know and leave everybody else in the dark. All right? Well, that's it, y'all. Remember, keep smiling. Because if you're smiling, it's a lot harder to walk around. It's a lot easier than walking around with a frown. And plus, your enemies don't know what's really wrong with you. Show appreciation, because appreciation is one of those great things. Now, you show some, you'll be surprised at the appreciation you get back. Don't forget to forgive with your heart. But before you forgive anyone else, make sure you have forgiven yourself and your heart is open. All right. Till tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific time. Y'all have a good rest of your Monday. And I'll see you tomorrow here at the same time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, I'm out of here.